much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, babies. How are you today?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And I'm going to keep plowing through it because in this world of education, there is a harvest.
Thank you. Finally, someone who makes a little sense around here.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin.
The world's biggest band in the smallest club they've played in 4 decades.
Kevin, God damn it.
Don't hang up with me. I have plenty of energy to drive over there. You understand me?
And now.
So, you guys have hung up both on Sir Paul McCartney and Bono. Bravo, Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Bravo.
Our feature presentation.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 20th of May.
So, Blackhawks have been around a long time. They're one of the original NHL teams, right?
Sir? Original six, yeah.
Yep. How far back do they go? What are we talking about? Like 80 years, something like that? 70 years, 80 years?
I think their last game that long was 1913.
Yeah. This was the longest game they ever had, is what I heard last night, in their history. Yep. I mean, to say they've been around for that long, and all those games they played, this was the longest game they ever played was last night.
Those of you who don't follow hockey, it was a triple overtime.
Yeah.
And it's a full 20 minutes each overtime.
Yeah. You don't see that very often.
No. Yeah. And you know why? Because I think the guys get really tired and make a mistake, and then it ends. Usually.
Right. Usually. Exactly. And I think it ends out of relief, too, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't even care if we lose. I want to stop skating. I think that's what it is. So you guys all stayed up till the end?
Yeah.
Look. When you're watching a game and it goes into overtime,
you stay.
Yeah, you just go there.
You're invested.
I don't have an option. And then when the first overtime's over, you go, well, I mean, I'm this far in.
Yeah.
So you have to. There's no question. You just don't have any option.
Chip was like, I don't want the Ducks to lose, but I sure need some sleep. And you can't score a goal with your head?
No, who knew?
Yeah, found that out last night. A header is not allowed.
I guess you sort of know in that the rule is pretty general that anything except for your stick, you can't.
Otherwise, you just pick up the puck and throw it into the net. You can't do that. So, well, very disappointing for Ducks fans, but very exciting for the series, that's for sure. And I think Kevin, you pointed out that Game 3 in Chicago starts in about 10 minutes. So. So there's plenty of hockey still to go. It is a new Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. Got a great story to get us started with here today. A very happy story. A story that has made a lot of people smile. If you've seen the photograph of the 5-year-old and the homeless guy at the Waffle House, have you guys seen this picture yet?
I've not seen that, no.
This is it's a photo that was everywhere yesterday, and here is the story behind it. This is in a little town in Alabama called Prattville.
It's the story of 5-year-old Josiah Duncan. And his mom, Ava Falk.
There was a man standing inside that was real dirty and had his back.
Josiah was so troubled by the man's appearance, he peppered his mom with questions and more questions.
Oh, and I said, well, because he's homeless. And Josiah said, well, what does that mean? And I said, that means he doesn't have a house.
And apparently not a friend to lean on.
He doesn't have no food.
Josiah felt the urge to do something. He insisted on his mom buying the stranger a good meal. She obliged.
Something, but he came in and sat down, and nobody really waited on him. He just kind of sat there, and Josiah jumped up and asked him if he needed a menu because he couldn't order without one.
Instead of ordering a cheap hamburger, the homeless man got the works.
By the way, what a dick this homeless man is, right?
I'll take every one of everything.
Wait.
Yeah, I just, you're offering me a hamburger. That's super nice, but man, could I get some extra bacon or something on that, dude? I mean, have a little gratitude for the kid bringing you to the Waffle House with a free meal. Isn't the expression beggars can't be choosers?
Oh, my God.
What a dick.
He said, well, can I have bacon? I said, you can have as much bacon on your hamburger as you want.
But before the man could take the first bite, Josiah insisted on something else.
I wanted to say the blessing with him.
And Josiah did. Publicly, with 11 other customers watching, Josiah sang it as loud as his little voice could muster.
Thank you for our blessings. Thank you for our blessings.
And that man just cried, and everybody else in Waffle House was crying.
The man ate his meal and went on his way.
Can you imagine, by the way, sitting in that Waffle House and seeing that? Little kid that standing there with that homeless guy just singing his little heart out, praying with that man.
Little kid's a dick, right? I mean, because he's, right?
No.
Because
no.
Thank you
Wait,
for our
why
blessings.
Is the kid a dick?
Because he's saying thank you for our blessings, sort of rubbing it in to the guy
think,
that doesn't
I don't think that was his point at all. I think, I think it was a very sweet gesture.
I mean, right, that's what I meant. Yes.
This is when religion is good, by the way. This is when you strip away all of the BS and all of the artifice and all of the prejudice, and this is where you just go, hey, I want to help people because that's what Jesus teaches me. I love stories like this.
He left with a full stomach while Ava left with a full heart.
I wasn't judging him by...
Topped off with what she considers a touch of divine wisdom.
That you never know who is an angel on earth, and then when the opportunity comes at you, you never should walk away from it.
Boom. The little boy saw a need.
Oh, man.
And met it face to face.
By the way, the other thing that I love about that story, besides the fact that the homeless man is a dick and a greedy bastard, is he's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, you can get as much bacon as you want. I'm just surprised he didn't take her up on that offer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
What's wrong with both of you?
Are we missing the point?
Yes. That little boy is an angel. And that is one of the most beautiful stories. If you watch the video and see his precious little face.
Yeah, he's a sweet kid.
Oh.
He's a sweet kid. Anyway, nice story at the Waffle House there in Prattville, Alabama. And you just picture all of these strangers watching, and they're crying because they're so happy that this little kid turned out so well and that this homeless man is getting a good meal. But B, I bet they're crying a little bit from embarrassment that they never would have done it.
Yep.
That they see this little 5-year-old who's kind of leading the way. I think that was a teachable moment for a lot of people in that restaurant.
I think after that, they all were just like, maybe we should have thought about doing so.
Yeah, maybe so.
Cute kid. Went to get him a menu because no one was helping him.
No one would serve him because he was dirty.
Josiah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Why am I not raping you right now? That's my whole thing.
Wow, Bachelorette.
That took a turn.
Well, we're back to the show now.
This morning on the Kevin Abicho Show, we are going to have to bring back Judge Kevin Abicho. We need a ruling, and that is on dog bones. And we'll have to tell you a little bit more in detail later. But
Now that when you say bones. That, it makes people think of a bone that you would give a dog to chew on, a toy. That's not what you're talking about.
It's not. It's keeping your dog's
your pet's skeleton
bones after they pass.
Right,
and that seems bad. Right?
Undetermined.
Well, we'll determine a little bit later this morning. Also, brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. We have another Bachelorette report, as it is last night was night 2 of The Bachelorette. We have Bean makes his guest today. We have you two at the Roxy. Got your tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, and then every hour starting from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And we have comedian and actor Brad Garrett in the studio. It's Book Wednesdays. So we're going to talk to him about his book about his balls. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:56.
You are about 50 minutes away or so from your first chance today to win tickets to join us for You Two at the Roxy 1 week from tomorrow night. So hang on for that. Rob is here now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph?
I'm spectacular. Thank you for asking.
You get sucked into that game last night too, like the rest of these kids?
No. I had a lot of stuff going on last night.
Gotcha.
But I did catch up on the
Bachelorette.
Yes, when I was talking about the hockey game, I caught up in the highlights this morning. So, sounded like quite the game.
Quite the game indeed.
Congratulations to Alfonso Ribeiro. He has been named, the new host of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yay!
That's right, you heard me. America's Funniest Home Videos is still on the air.
They've been doing new ones.
Let me tell you a little something about America's Funniest Home Videos, Kevin.
Please.
Sunday, it wrapped its 25th anniversary season. Wow. It's been on the air for 25 years.
Wow.
Consistently. On television.
That's shocking to me.
Bergeron has been the host for a long time, right?
Since 2000.
Okay.
Before that, there have been many hosts. Of course, Bob Saget initially hosted the show.
Right.
And then Daisy Fuentes and John Fugelsang were also co-hosts for a short period of time.
Seems like a misstep.
And it's been, actually, they were pretty good.
Oh, okay.
And Fugelsang, Bergeron has been there, since 2001. And now he's passing the torch to Ribeiro. The return of Ribeiro.
Yeah.
What do you want to be? Does that dance that he does? Oh, it's so funny when he dances. It's not unusual. And he dances like he can't really dance very well, but he continues to dance.
He does Carlton, right?
They should do a video of that and put that on that show. That would be America's funniest video.
Two things. One
What?
It's so amazing that the show is still on now that we have YouTube, because everybody has America's Funniest Home Videos at their fingertips at all times. We don't need to tune in to see it on TV for 30 minutes, first of all.
Second of all, are you aware of America? Do you know anything about America?
No, tell me about America, Ralph.
You know how many people are still using dial-up internet service?
Like 1.5 million, I think.
Yeah. You know how people don't
I understand not everybody's on the internet. I got that.
No, I don't think you do. There's a whole generation out there who don't know how to work up the fancy Sparkle box.
Yeah. You're probably right about that.
But that's mostly older people, I would guess, right?
That's who watches this show.
7 o'clock on Sundays, Kevin. Yeah. Oh. Who do you think's watching ABC?
Yeah, good point.
God damn it, people. Will you please pay attention?
And thing two is, this is why you go on Dancing with the Stars. Alfonso Ribeiro does not get this show unless he charms America and ABC executives by being a great contestant on Dancing with the Stars. I think that led directly to him getting some work.
See? Bean is the vice president of show business. He knows how things work, man. He gets it. That's why he's going right to the top. He knows how to work the system.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
That's right. These words were never spoken in the English language. Wow, that girl from Teen Mom really got herself together. And so it continues. Mackenzie McKee of Teen Mom 3.
Oh, she was my favorite?
She of MTV's Teen Mom 3 now hopes that you'll support her dreams and her hopes on making a better life for herself and for her child. She dreams, like all young teen moms do, of getting a new rack. Yes, she has started her own page on myfreeimplants.com, the crowdsourcing website
that I forgot about that website.
Allows you to get other people to pay for your boob jobs.
Allie, you should bookmark that.
Yeah, already.
Just
did.
In case.
Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Now she's got her page up and she's asking everyone to donate money. You know, forget the other Kickstarter programs for sick children and puppies and funeral expenses and colleges and movies.
Hey, this is just as important, man.
Law school. Boob jobs.
I love areola.
Kevin's donating. You should, too.
Well, good luck with
$5,000. That's all she needs. $5,000. That's all she needs. Come on. Give till it hurts, people. Mackenzie McKee is waiting for you to change her nipples.
Shouldn't Dr. Drew contribute since he's the one who knocked her up in
right?
the first place?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think
he got those girls pregnant. He just walks away.
I don't think he gets them pregnant.
MTV's left there with that.
I've seen the show, Kevin. That's exactly how it works.
I don't think that's how it works.
As of press time, she has raised $20.
Okay.
So there's that.
Right.
So that's going on. So she's got that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cher.
Right.
I know she's old, but she's awesome, right?
She's kind of awesome.
She's kind of awesome.
She is totally kind of awesome. She went from star to sort of has-been to sort of joke to sort of, wow, she's still around, to, wow, she's still pretty good, to icon. She lasted.
I don't know what she's done.
She went through the process.
The last while.
Her live shows are still legendary.
Oh, is she in Vegas?
Yeah. She performs Vegas a bunch. And she's still, I mean, you got to give her.
Looks great, sounds great.
Looks great, sounds great. She's really stood the test of time, as they say.
Yeah.
69 years old. Bronson Pinchot. Balky from Perfect Strangers. Also Serge from Beverly Hills Cop. That's not sexy, that's animal. Tony Goldwyn, very talented actor over there on Scandal, of course.
He's the president.
I don't believe he's actually the president. But
on Scandal.
He may play the president. 55 years old, Timothy Oliphant. You know him from Justified.
He's a cowboy.
Also, Hitman. He was in Hitman. 47 years old, NASCAR driver Tony Stewart's 44. And the reason we celebrate the day, by far, Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Busta Rhymes, course, you know him as a popular rapper, and then he went on to a successful career in the NFL as a running back for the Seahawks.
I don't.
Busta Rhymes.
I don't think that happened.
They look at me so much alike. He looks a lot like Richard Sherman.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Define.
Not Richard Sherman, the other one, the running back. What's his name?
Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch.
I just hear so I don't get fined.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes me laugh. Oh, hey, look, it's Busta Rhymes.
Right.
It's very funny.
Okay.
Big joke at my house.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, remember when we had Bono on the show on Monday?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, and he was talking about how this was the this Roxy show that's coming up next week was going to be the smallest venue they played in 40 years, and I sensed that he was getting ready to go into detail about the days that they used to play in clubs like that until Kevin hung up on him, and then we didn't get to hear that story.
I sensed that he was done with what he was saying.
It seemed to me like that's where he was headed. It was just kind of a history, a backstory of the early days of U2, the hardscrabble existence of that young band from Dublin. But they are back in Southern California. Of course, I got a series of great sold-out shows at the Forum, but you can see them at the Roxy, which may be even better. If you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067, you have to be on hold for a few minutes. We'll give you a chance to earn your way in to K-Rock Presents U2 at the Roxy. Call now. Big band, small club, you bet. Giving away some tickets for U2 at the Roxy for next Thursday night. This one's pretty easy, though, for people to win, right, Kevin?
I don't believe so, no.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
That's right. It's really hard. Hi, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Got a lot of people on the line right now on hold, very nervous, trying to win their way in to see their favorite band at the Roxy. Tell them how they can win, please.
It's simple. All we'll do is play for you the title of a U2 song. Identify the title we've just played for you, and you got into the drawing.
Wait, you're going to say the name of the song, and then all I have to do is say the name of the song?
That's right.
Seems pretty easy.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. Look at me backwards.
See, that's a whole different kettle of fish right there.
Yeah,
all right,
backwards.
So it's as simple as that. Just listen closely. Tell us what the song title would be if it were forward, and you go into the drawing to win your way in to see U2 at the Roxy. Who's our first contestant?
Coming up first, it's Kathleen. She's an event planner.
Hey, Kathleen.
Good morning.
What the hell are you doing up at 6 o'clock in the morning as an event planner? That seems like the kind of job you wouldn't have to get up this early for.
I had to get milk.
How'd you get milk?
Okay.
Sure. You didn't plan on that event, did you, Kathleen? You should have gotten milk last night if you were really planning.
Well, if there's a way you would know that you would want milk the next morning.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I just had to go to sleep last night.
All right. You need your secret fridge like Bean has.
All right, there you
listen,
go.
We're going to play it for you twice, and then you have to tell us what it is. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Wagon roof.
One more time.
Wagon roof.
Oh. I'm choking.
Drink some milk.
You want to take a guess at least? It's a U2 song, if that helps.
Oh, gosh.
Vertigo.
Vertigo was the answer.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. Who's next, Mr. Announcerman?
Next up is Chuck. He's a physical therapist. Ooh, work my muscles, Chuck.
Morning, Chuck.
Good morning, party people. How are you?
We are good. You ready for your backwards title?
May I see them?
Yeah. No.
Nwama Riwashed Vakarimba.
One more time.
Nwama Riwashed Vakarimba.
Oh, poop. That's hard.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, it is not poop. Although that was a great song from the Rattle at Home album.
Hold on. Let me try to. Hold on. Let me see. Is it.
The Miracle of Joey Ramone.
Thanks for playing, Chuck. Appreciate
it. Sorry, Chuck.
We don't have unlimited time for the guests.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Yes.
And by the way, here's a tip. Take a guess, at least if you're on hold. At least have a U2 song in mind. In that case, if you come up blank, at least you can try. At least you have a 1 in 100 chance of winning.
Up next is Alex. He's a thrift store.
Alex, how are you a thrift store?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And right. You as well.
He's a good listener.
All right, you ready? You ready for your title?
I'm the best listener of K-Rock.
Right. All right, you ready for your titles?
Yes.
There you go.
Yenus, Edel, Yenus.
One more time.
Yenus, Edel, Yenus.
I believe it's, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that
first...
That first word and that third word were sure the same.
No, we're not kidding.
Alex is angry at you, Mr. Answerman.
I can tell.
I'm extremely angry. I'm like the biggest fan of you two in Southern California.
Yeah, you probably would have got that forever. Then if you were a big fan.
We're sorry, Alex.
We're
Alex,
guessing.
Still giving away tickets throughout the day.
This sort week. Some old jeans.
And next. Mr. Announcerman, we are very close to sudden death. Let's try one more here first before we get to that.
You have no idea how close I am to sudden death. Things aren't looking good with the test results.
So
I'm sorry
to hear
they
that.
They had the CAT scan. They said, really, I could go at any time.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
All right, who's next?
David. He's in Riverside.
Wow.
He's a claim to
Hey, guys. Hey, party people.
It's kind of hard to care now after I got the news. And
Mr. Announcerman is only hanging on to see you win U2 tickets, so good luck, David, okay?
All right.
There you go.
Yun.
One more time.
Yun.
With or without you?
New Year's Day.
I feel like this is difficult.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Aren't getting it. We're in sudden death now.
Yes, it is sudden death. So if no drawing anymore, if you get it, you win.
Ryan from Torrance, it's all on you, son.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, good morning.
All right, a lot of excitement in this game.
There we go.
Sorry to wake you.
This is your U2 song.
No.
One more time.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
No.
One.
Yeah! One. Ryan!
You are going to U2 at the Roxy next Thursday night. Only 500 people will see the biggest band in the world, and you're one of them, Ryan. Thanks so much for playing.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Answerman.
Ryan!
Comedian and actor Brad Garrett joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, keep listening for more tickets for U2 at the Roxy. And also, we're going to talk to people who collect or keep pet skeletons. Apparently, that's a thing.
Yeah, is it, though?
I guess that's what we'll find out.
Yeah.
First, though, Kevin, you saw Mad Max? You did not see
I've
Mad
not
Max.
Seen it yet, no.
Okay, I know we are all very excited about it. It's getting rave reviews. It's America's number two film right now. But there is one man who is not happy about this very popular movie starring Charlize Theron, and he is a man named Aaron Clary. At the time of this article, he says he had not seen the film yet, but he is declaring that it is nothing but feminist nonsense. He says, let us be clear. This is because it has a strong woman ordering a bunch of dudes around, so he hates it. Let us be clear. This is the vehicle by which they are guaranteed to force a lecture on feminism down your throat. This is the Trojan horse feminist and Hollywood leftists will use to vainly insist on the trope that women are equal to men in all things, including physique, strength, and logic. He is calling for a boycott of Mad Max Fury Road.
He got all of that out of not watching the movie?
From the trailer. He said because Charlize talked a lot during it.
Exactly, yes.
What?
Yeah.
So we don't have access to Mr. Clary. We have not been able to get him on the phone. But we do know somebody who can help us, and it is our friend Bruce Endicott, who we do use from time to time when it comes to an issue of political correctness. He, of course, works for the organization Coffee, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. Endicott, we always appreciate your time, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're fine. Would you mind if you could remind our listeners, please, COFFEE, the organization you work for, stands for?
Right. COFFEE stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
And what we do really is we're a social reach out organization where we help people of all creeds, colors, races, religions, sexes to cross that bridge to understanding with each other.
Well, that sounds like exactly what we need.
That is exactly what you need. So those of us, COFFEE here, we're a group of fairly affluent white Anglo-Saxon males. And from this position of power, we like to be able to pass information to the others and help them better understand the world we all live in.
Wait, why are you in a position of power and they are the others, Bruce?
I don't know. That's just how God intended, I guess.
Okay. Do you think you could use some maybe women on your board, maybe people of different races?
Actually, we haven't thought about that, but we will. I'll make a note of that. It might be something we might want to look into in the future.
Wow.
All right, Mr. Endicott, you don't know this Aaron Clary, but I'm sure you're familiar with the story. He has gotten a lot of attention on his men's rights blog for calling out Mad Max Fury Road as being just feminist agenda.
Right. And listen, let me first say that here at COFFEE, we do believe in standing up for the rights of everyone. And that means men, too. Men do have rights, and they need to be addressed. I mean, for too long now, men have been a quiet minority that just haven't had a chance to express themselves.
You're saying white men?
Yes, finally white men are getting a chance.
A quiet minority.
To listen, just because you rule the world doesn't mean you're not the minority, okay?
It does. It actually does. And
you have to agree to disagree on that one, I think.
But aren't most of the movies, particularly most of the action movies like this Mad Max Fury Road, aren't 98% of them starring white men?
Well, I think that Mr. Clary has a point, is that finally men need to start getting represented in Hollywood mainstream films. You okay?
What just happened?
I don't know.
Everything all right?
I'm not sure. Now, have you seen this movie?
I have not seen
You've
this
not
movie,
seen
but it. Like Mr. Clary, I have seen the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And it does look like Charlize Theron is front and center there in the action.
How is that a bad? That's a perfect thing.
When will there be a white male who is a lead in an action film is what we're asking.
Every movie and every TV show.
I mean, if you
ever,
look at all this stuff that's coming out now, like this spy movie with Melissa McCarthy where she plays a secret agent.
Right. Uh-huh.
When will a man get a chance to play a secret agent? Will he be represented?
What about James Bond? What about Jason Bourne?
Secret agent movies.
What about hundreds of others? There's been so many of those.
Well,
that's what makes
Hot Pursuit movie. It's got Sofia Vergara and Reese Witherspoon as two fish out of water, sort of mismatched buddies on the road. When will two men ever star in a film like that so men can see themselves?
There's 5,000 of those movies.
That's every other movie like that.
The Sandra Bullock movie, Gravity, where she's in space. When will men start to be featured in science fiction and space movies where you see a male astronaut?
Have you seen any movies?
Ever?
I saw a commercial for this thing called The Avengers.
Yes, The Avengers.
Black Widow superhero girl. When will men start being superheroes?
Well, pretty much the rest of the cast is
men. These are the questions
men.
We
okay.
need to ask.
All right.
And finally, men need to stand up and say, when will I be able to see myself up on the big screen?
Every movie ever, Bruce. That's where.
Well, it's not every movie. That's, I think, what we're saying.
You might need to do a little more research.
But it's
this.
Not every movie.
Well, no, but it's...
Right, well, when it's every movie, then we'll just be quiet.
So if they could have got a white guy to star in Selma, now you got something, right?
Thank you. Finally, someone who realized.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
A lot of our listeners I have found just sit through the first 50 minutes of every hour to get to this point where we're at right now. Aww. With Ralph Berman and the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
First of all, along those lines, I have been remiss this week. I didn't take some time out to say thank you to all the amazing listeners who came up to me at Winnie Roast this past weekend with such kind words, and they were so nice, and there was hugs and handshakes and back slaps and... What a just a lovely group of really, really kind people. And everyone who came up and said something nice, it just meant the world to me. It was a spectacular day, and largely because so many of our listeners are such nice, friendly, kind people. And it was just person after person. I was just blown away by all the kindness, and I really do appreciate it, and I love all you guys. So thanks
I'm
so much.
I'm glad you said that, Ralph, because we don't hear nice things very often. The listeners that tend to interact with us online are usually the ones who are mad at us or disappointed
right.
or
yes.
haters or something like that.
Right.
So it is rare that we get a kind word from somebody. So.
Yeah, and there was a ton of it on Saturday, and it just made me feel great, and I just do appreciate it, and I don't want to let any more time go without thanking all those people, because they're really nice.
I would also say that this is the first time that you've ever actually been at the Weenie Roast without sun poisoning.
Yes, that also made it a good day.
And puking, where you were literally enjoying the show?
It was across the board an excellent day for me. The weather made it capable for me to enjoy it. And I wasn't darting from shade to shade like some sort of lizard, just trying to find a space under a rock to get away from the sun. And it was across the board. It was a very enjoyable day for me, but made more so because of the amazing listeners who are always so nice and kind and say such nice things. And it just it warmed this crusty old black heart.
Did the listeners want to touch the jacket or to get their picture taken with it?
Okay. I let them touch the cloak.
Just the hem, right?
Yes. Hopefully a little of the magical rub off on them. That's all what right. I hope. Along those lines, Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to the Improv on Melrose. And so I want to invite some of those very nice people who I saw on Saturday to come out and see me and Kevin Smith at the Improv on Melrose. On Friday night at 10 p.m., we bring Hollywood Babylon back to the show, back to the theater there, and we'd love to have you come out and join us.
No!
In a couple weeks, we're going to be down in Irvine at the Irvine Improv.
No, idiot.
Not the amphitheater at all, the Irvine Improv. That's where we'll be.
Having some problems with facts here today, Ralph.
It was a restless night. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Not interested.
I am not as sharp as, let's say,
me.
A bowling ball. Bill O'Reilly in the news. Oh, this is shocking, stunning stuff. Allegations, allegedly, that he's physically abused his ex-wife.
Dude,
wow. I know, right? The website Gawker reports that Bill had been accused of physically assaulting his ex-wife during a 3-year custody battle with his ex-wife, Maureen McPhillamy. And he says his daughter allegedly witnessed him dragging his wife down a staircase by her neck.
Holy crap.
Now, sometimes things can get contentious in any custody battle, so you have to take that with a grain of salt.
That's alleged.
Right. And Bill did issue a statement saying allegations against me in these circumstances are 100% false. And Bill is not one to play fast or loose with the facts.
That's true.
I think he... apparently his wife came home from a spin class, and he was very upset about that because... it's a no spin zone there at the O'Reilly household. That's why he's so upset. He does not like that.
Well played, Garmin.
Thank you, sir. And I doff my hat to you, sir, as well. Tonight's the big night. David Letterman.
That's alleged.
No. What? David Letterman is real. He's not alleged.
All right.
And tonight is the final David Letterman show. As of tonight, Dave will have done 6,028 broadcasts. Late Night with David Letterman on NBC had over 1,800 broadcasts. And then The Late Show with David Letterman on CBS, another 4,200 broadcasts for primetime specials. It's just, it's quite an accomplishment in television history. And tonight is the final night. And a lot of people are getting choked up about it. None more so than our buddy Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw him last night.
I did not know.
But he was paying tribute to Letterman in his monologue and invited his listeners to, his viewers rather, not to tune in to his rerun tonight. Instead, to go over and watch David Letterman and his farewell show, which I thought was very nice.
Did ABC call him on the phone and go, hey,
I was wondering. I was like, you know what? It's okay. You can love Dave. You don't have to actively tell people to stay away from ABC.
That's an advertising to sell.
At that time, they can make their own choice, I think.
So, Ralph, what's your guess as to what will be on the program tonight? Because they have released nothing.
No, they haven't told us anything.
No guess.
Bill Murray,
who,
of course, is the most substantial of Dave's sort of landmark guests. He's always there the first show of his Hallmark career. And,
yeah, he was his first NBC guest and his first CBS guest. Right,
and he was on last night. So it won't be him.
Right.
Hanks, another staple of that show, was on earlier this week. So no one knows what's going to happen. Maybe it's just Dave talking to the camera for 90 minutes.
Has Regis done his farewell
yet? Yeah, Regis did his.
He already did his, okay.
Yeah. Regis was on last night, as a matter of fact.
Larry Bud Melman.
Ah, bringing back Calvert DeForest. Yes.
All right, here's some late-breaking news, Ralph, just in.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Nope.
Could he?
From RollingStone.com, they say that Dave's favorite band will be the final musical guest. Although we were told last night Bob Dylan was the final guest when we saw that booking. But his favorite band will play tonight.
Loverboy!
Anyone know who Dave's favorite band is?
Pablo Cruz?
It's an excellent guess.
Plain White Tees?
Foo Fighters.
That would be great.
It looks like that's what's going to happen.
That would be great.
But what else? But what else? Who else?
But what else? Exactly.
What about his mom? I mean, has she been back?
She's still alive.
Yeah, she's been back, and they've been playing clips, you know, highlight clips and stuff of her and other things.
Larry Bud Melman in heaven?
I guess we'll have to tune in and see tonight. But as I mentioned, Jimmy did talk about Dave last night. Got a little choked up, actually, in the monologue. That's how much Dave and his show has meant to Jimmy. Jimmy's credited for a large part of his career for David Letterman's influence. Here's a little taste of Jimmy last night.
Watching Late Night, not only did I learn how to do everything from Dave, the reason I have this show is because the executives at ABC... saw me when I was a guest on Dave's show and hired me to host this show. So I want to thank Dave and his writers and producers. is Letterman's farewell show, and I would like it if you'd make sure to watch that instead of our show. We will have a show tomorrow night. It's going to be a rerun. Please do not watch it, especially if you're a young person who doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. Dave is the best, and you should see him. And
wow. Get it together, man.
What an incredible pussy.
That's what we're saying, right?
No.
Holy crap.
No, we're not.
What a weenie.
TV guys going off the air. Oh, my vagina hurts.
That's what we're saying, right?
Christ's sake, nope. Kimmel. Suck it up. Jeez.
And this is good news, because I'm a big fan of this band. I think there's a great story to be told here. There is a biopic in the works based on the band The Kinks.
The Kinks.
The Kinks story and all?
Not really the story much, no.
They were the Oasis of their day.
They were indeed. Ray Davies and Dave Davies, the two brothers who were at the center of the legendary British rock band, just knocked down, drag out, fights, hated each other, loved each other. It was just a disaster. As Bean said, it was very Oasis-esque. They are making a movie about the story of the Kinks, directed by a guy named Julian Temple, who is a legendary British film and video director. In fact, directed a ton of the Kinks videos late in their career. And he also directed a movie that I like a lot called Absolute Beginners. He will be directing that film as well, so that's good news.
I love those stories.
Me too. I'll watch almost any biopic,
even if I don't like the band.
I'm the same way.
I like the behind the scenes.
I love to watch the story of how somebody that you know now as this got to be that guy, and I always find those interesting. So good stuff.
Hope Jimmy doesn't cry if he goes to the Kinks movie.
Those two brothers can't get along.
Come on, Jim, pull it together.
You're embarrassing yourself, jeez, man.
Oh, Jimmy, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. We'll get you a box set of Letterman. You can watch the DVDs. Come on, Jim.
It's embarrassing now.
Come on, Jimmy.
In front of everyone.
It's okay. We're all sad, but, you know, things
take it easy.
All good things must
pass. Is there a box set of every Letterman show?
Sure, yeah.
Come on, I didn't realize that.
It's a big box.
Yes, it is.
You have to get it at Costco. They bring it out on a forklift, on a pallet, but it's available.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Busta Rhymes. He's 43. And you know every time Busta must be holding a fort, my squad, I'll be shutting it down, and we be putting on, coming through like a steamroller, me and Drex, ain't no effing around, come on. Yeah, what up, me and my team got a link, because you know we stay chopping it up, and when we get up in the club, on, I'm up over to the bar, I'll be knocking it up, and we get a little high, and we get a little drunk, and we get a little drunk,
feels like that's
no Iggy Azalea, but he's fast.
That's the rap career I would have if I was a rapper.
Sure. I'm sorry, what
I feel
now?
Like that reminds me of what I would be like if I had a rap career. No?
Wow.
What? Here we go now. And you know every time
but the must be yeah. Yeah, pretty sure that's me.
Well.
Yeah.
With your ease with the English language.
Thank you, Ralph.
I think you're right.
Thank you.
No, I want to cry. I feel like Jimmy. Just the idea of Kevin doing that.
How dare you.
Tony Stewart, the NASCAR driver, is 44. Timothy Oliphant, very talented actor, is 47. Tony Goldwyn is 55. Bronson Pinchot, 56 years old. And singer Cher.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Cher.
Cher.
I saw Cher once with one of her, one of the Cher impersonators in Vegas.
She was with the impersonator?
Yes.
Okay.
It was an act they called Cher and Cher Alike.
Come on, Ralph.
Stop it.
Oh, you're welcome. Hello.
Oh. What even? God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We call them cans in the business.
Is that what
cans.
These are?
Yeah.
I can hear the ocean.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. What's the odor?
Actor and comedian Brad Garrett has been funnier in the last 60 seconds he's been in our studio than I've ever seen him be on television.
Stop it. This book is catching on like slavery. Did everybody get a copy? It is really, it's flying off the shelves. Look at Chip.
Hold me up to the knobs. Hold me up so I can turn the knobs.
You are passing them out to everyone you run into in the building.
Amber Alert. Every time she walks on the monitor, there's an Amber Alert. How old are you, honey?
I'm 28.
28. Good enough. Good enough.
I love it when she tries to talk, though, because the mic is up here for me, and she has to get on her tippy toes.
She's unbelievable.
A lot of times she has to jump.
You okay, Pan? Can you hear the show? Okay. Click your heels and call for mommy.
I think we need a picture of Brad picking up Chip, by the way.
I would like
probably do with one hand.
Just
going to
pick her up and thank the Academy and then and then polish her head. She looks a little bit like the Emmy. Not that I would know, but Ray told me when I was over at his mansion hiding under his wallet. It's so heavy because I forgot to pay the rest of the cast.
I believe you have three of your own Emmys,
Brad. Bean, where are you? Where are you? Because I smell burnt toast. I smell burnt toast.
Nope. We're fine. You're just having a stroke. That's all that is.
First of all, 25 years. Congratulations. That is, no, I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
But you've been doing what you've been doing a lot longer than that, Brad.
Is she going to interrupt me the whole thing? Or should I just roll with it?
Just roll with it.
Okay, pan more fairy dust on the traffic check when you have a minute. More fairy dust. She's a cutie. What does she do? Weather traffic?
No.
Oh, me? You can ask me.
Well, I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Oh. Okay.
No, seriously, the Mexican in the lobby went, just look at Kevin. And who's the security guy? It's like that I woke up.
That's Charles.
It's
Charles.
Like Scatman Crothers.
You know, he's quite elderly.
You're going to get me fired. I went, I'm just driving on. We going to get fired. It's okay.
Tell about Charles.
Charles, I love the hat.
Charles was the original drummer for Little Richard.
Yeah.
No, really?
Things pay off. He's unbelievable. I go, Charles, I love the hat. I'll take a Times and a Globe. And he went, ain't got no paper!
He doesn't talk like that at all.
I know. I know he doesn't. But in my mind, the brothers do. Kevin, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the last time.
Oh, I know. Bean, how many times have we talked about having Brad, A, on April Fool's System, B, as a guest, and every time I say, I don't know, I don't think it's a good idea.
I know. But
Brad has made more last appearances in media than any other comedian.
That's true. That's
one and
really
done.
True.
That's what Brad's famous for, one and done.
I know. There's been, it's a little tangy. What is the name, honey?
Allie.
Allie. It's a little tangy.
Just Allie. The girl. Just call her the girl. That's fine.
No,
she
I don't
likes
do
that.
I don't do that. Pan, quickly, fly over the sleeping children. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's something about her that's kind of, I don't know what it
is. She's magical.
She is magical. Yeah. There's something I just, if things are working, I take a run at it.
Things aren't working at all?
Did you read the book?
No, did you read the...
I didn't know if that's...
No, it's all true. The Jimmys, when it hit the toilet brine, I went into a real, I went into a little bit of a man depression, and then I went to my urologist, Dr. Liebetai, and he looked at it, and there's stuff going on.
The name
you're
of the
okay,
book is
though, because you're, because what, Kevin, you're what, German? Swedish?
I am Swiss.
Swiss. Okay, so you guys are wired for life to just... To be able to work it for life.
I guess. I don't know. I know the history of the Swiss penis.
Yeah, well.
That's a sentence that's never been said before.
Well, I do. And you think you like chocolate now. Well, you just wait. Because the Swiss, they can make up a batch.
The name of the book is When the Balls Drop.
I got, okay. That's kind of the name of the book. No, it's
not at all. Thanks for coming, Brad.
Are you kidding? I'd love to be here. You know, I was in the area. I was buying meth. And are there enough gates, you think? You feel safe when you leave?
Yes.
Okay.
But just barely.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah.
Brad, why is what happened to your penis made such a significant impact in your life, do you believe? Because you do spend a lot of time in the book talking about it.
Yeah. Well, do you have a penis?
I do.
Okay. How is it?
It's fine.
Okay. And how old are you, Bean?
I'm younger than you are. Yeah, Bean is what I go by, yes.
Okay.
Is this a line of questioning that you normally go with?
Only on The View.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because Whoopi was like, what happened to your penis? And we got into it.
It seems like it was very significant. It's something that you still think about and talk about a lot, though. That's
well I think all men do. All men do. Well, I'm sorry, Bean. Straight men.
Okay.
I talk about a lot. Ali, how about your balls? Where are they hovering right about now?
They're actually pretty high.
All right.
Well, you dedicate the book to your kids, and then chapter one is Why I Can't Pee.
Exactly. I mean, and they have a lot to do with that because of my angst of having teenagers. But I think a lot of men are motored by their... The one-eyed liar,
sure,
as I like to call it.
Right.
So I, you know, that's really where I hit it from. I think a lot of our life, or maybe it's just my warped life. I don't know. It could be.
Well, I think it's most guys, except for I think most guys are functioning on a little bit of a higher level than this book refers to you as.
Well, let's hope so.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's hope so. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to set the bar. I was just trying to get the ex-wife a little do-re-mi. And, you know, get it paid off, Allie. But no, I mean, it really, really happened. It was my a couple weeks after my 52nd birthday, and I sat down to take my third whiz of the night, and I noticed that my my balls were wet, you know, and I went into a little, and I'm thinking, well,
I like
I know.
How you went through the checklist of
well, it's
possible
like I didn't do a snow angel. Right. I know that. I don't think I peed myself, or I wouldn't have gotten up. Right,
right. Right.
You know what it's like when you make a stinky alley. And so it was just pretty much me. Oh, look at her. She's flying around. More with the wand. More with the wand, Chip. Did you really work at Disney? Is that okay? I hear that Walt collected Nazi memorabilia. I don't know if people know that.
That's not true because they're a fine sponsor, and we've been told that everything they do is great.
Yeah, they do. They
thank
do
you
good
for
yeah,
adjusting yeah. that comedy.
They don't pay well, but they're good. They're good. Walt is like, well, I like the Pirates of the Caribbean, but remember, no Jews on the drop.
I don't think.
No, I think he said
not
that.
A quote. I don't
think
a quote.
I think, well, because Jews aren't great pirates. You know, like, arr, my back. You know, I don't think it's. You're not going to believe this, Kevin, because, you know, you and I have a little history.
Yes.
You know, you and I have a little history, and Bean, I don't even know where he is.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But
he's just not here. That's the important part.
That's true. Right. But I recently had a job, which I know is hard to believe. And it was on a show where, you know, guys really do their own stunts. And all my character had to do was run.
Okay.
From like here to like where Scatman is in the hut.
Right. Charles. Okay. Oh, Scatman. Right.
Charles. Yeah. You go get us fired.
That's not.
Okay. No. He does when I pull up.
He doesn't.
Okay.
Maybe
he
you
doesn't.
Bring that out.
No, it could be. I love
Charles.
All right,
Charles. So you just have to run so
I
30
had,
yards.
Everyone's, you know, they're doing a tuck and roll out of a candy glass window. One guy's fallen off. It's a Jewish Western. One guy, one guy falls off a roof onto a pony.
Right.
All I had to do was run. And after the second take, they actually had to find a stuntman, a double, as they call it.
Sure.
They called the circus. And they found the bearded lady had Thursdays off. And they literally had to get and then shoot it from like a crane or a helicopter.
Wait, you can't. I missed the part why you can't run.
Well, I have a tail. And it gets it gets caught on stuff, Kevin.
Did you have to say to them, hey, you're going to have to get somebody else to do this? Or did they
know? No, they suggested it after I ran. Because I ran, you know.
Oh,
like,
I see. I got
arms
you.
Flying all over
flying
the place.
Flying all over. And, you know, the right hand was on the, as I ran.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like after. And it's, you know, it's a macho drama. I mean, they were
sure.
Like, you know, I mean, it was a mistake. I'm sure that they hired me outright.
Right.
You know, but
they'll cut you out most
but,
likely.
But, you know, I wanted to be on Punky Brewster. And is that Square Pegs before?
Oh, I love Square
Pegs. I don't know. Let me ask the midget. Pan. I'm sorry. That's wrong. Ground Angel. Let me clean it up.
Yes.
And make it PC. Ground Angel.
That's what I you're known for is making stuff PC.
That's a yeah. great one.
I laughed out loud when I saw your favorite euphemism for midget is Ground Angel, by the way. That's brilliant.
You really read the book?
I read about two-thirds of the book.
And okay, that's good.
It's very entertaining.
That's a record.
I skimmed about two-thirds of it.
Skimming is good.
Skimmed it.
Skimming is good.
No, the book is funny. Look, I don't know that the book needed to be written, but I'm glad that it was because it's very entertaining.
Of course, yeah. Yeah,
that's Bean's backhanded compliment
think,
right there.
Yeah, isn't that? I don't think it needed to be.
I don't
written.
Think we needed it.
I read two-thirds of it. I bought a weapon. I hit off the bong. I walked on my 40 acres that I earned on the back of Kevin, and I took a nap.
The book is called "When the Balls Drop." Author, actor, comedian Brad Garrett is here. A quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
Put the cans back on, Brad.
Okay, cans are on. Back I don't on. Think they should be giving me an erection. Are they on right?
I don't think so. Then.
Oh, let me pull. It. Oh, I'm on the wire.
There you go.
I'm on the wire.
That
turn
is the
this
voice
mic
of...
off anytime you want.
All right. Brad Garrett here the on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is the actor. And he really did turn your mic off.
He
is
he
actor
told me to.
And comedian and author of a new book that is called "When the Balls Drop." It is available everywhere. It just came out earlier this month.
Yeah.
Brad, are
and
you?
And Bean's review is could have done without the book. Got through two-thirds of it.
But I'm glad I saw
glad
it.
That you wrote it that's after okay. Look, saying that it didn't need to be
sure,
written.
Sure.
This is something that you didn't, an item you didn't recognize that was on the menu, but you're glad you tried it. In retrospect, you're like, hey, I didn't even know about that, but it's pretty good. That's
right?
All
you
I'm
never
saying.
Know. Listen,
you never know.
When you get older, Bean, you know, it could be you're going to be sitting, you know, you're going to be sitting on the can and one of the jimmies is going to hit the tide.
Now, does that happen to everyone? Because I don't think that happens to everyone. I don't think. The droppage is the 2 foot range for most people.
Well, no one is saying it's 2 feet.
I'm saying
it's not Run Silent, Run Deep here. It was a little on the bottom, was a little. Now, okay. I've talked to other men.
That's what I was going to ask. Do guys come up and say, I've had the same thing happen? Or has
Swiss
no one
men.
Ever said that?
Not Swiss men.
Not Swiss men.
No, because the wooden shoes elevate you about another foot. when I talked about it in my hacky act, which you've been privy to.
Which is fantastic.
Oh, sure it is. Damp runner. Damp runner. Oh, it's a damp runner. You know what damp runner is, Bean?
I believe I do. I believe it's
you got your hand on the button, Allie? So,
no.
Okay, I have hand? The button.
Okay. It's somebody who has swum to this country.
Who has swum to this country?
Swam to this country?
I don't think it's swum.
Swam. I think it's swam. Okay. Somebody who has swam to this country.
Can you not lie on the couch when we do the show?
That's what you call a damp runner.
Because I don't want you to choke on the lozenge. They swam.
Why are you so down on your act when you know that you play big rooms all over the world? You're very successful as a stand-up comedian.
Well,
why can't you enjoy your success, Brad?
Well, because I think it's fleeting. And
fleeting? You've been in the industry for 40 years.
Well, that's Canadian. And
that, I mean, at what point do you accept that people like you and that you're funny and that you
can
sell tickets?
Stop walking out?
Where is that?
You know, I get a couple.
People do love or hate Brad.
Right, right.
And the people that love him love him.
Right.
And then the other people don't.
I'll tell you what I had. You know, I was working my little, my little carnival, which is in the MGM.
Your comedy club, yeah.
Yeah, and I was a little higher up, and then Copperfield, you know, my show used to be above sea level, kind of across the casino from David Copperfield, and who, by the way, could make the Statue of Liberty disappear, a motorcycle, can't get that hump. He's starting to develop to go away. It's unbelievable. Have you ever seen his show? He's like, unbelievable.
I haven't noticed.
You know, I took up magic because I was bullied as a child. And I was at a birthday party, and this birthday clown had his way with me. And I said, you know, never again. And I'm going to start doing things. So may I show you my first trick I learned? May I? With the audience, could you help me? I need a couple items from the audience. Please, darling. Would you help? Thank you. I need a silver coin. It could be a nickel, dime, quarter. A tissue or a handkerchief and your vagina. Please.
Well, kidding. It's working for him.
I'm kidding. I don't need a tissue. So anyway, they moved my show to the basement.
Well, it's in a closet, sort of.
Well, I'm right next to New York Pretzel and House of Magnets. So
okay,
you go down the escalator.
Like.
You get down the escalator when you get hit with the dead hooker smell. Hang a left,
right
near Jimmy's urinal,
and
that's where I was. But the other night I was doing some of the audience people, you know, they come out, they think they're going to see Robbie from Raymond, you know, and it's Satan's Spawn, pretty much is what it is. So I had some old people, show started at 8, they lined up around 4 on their scooters, it's God's waiting room in my, you walk into my club and, you know, people are just going to levitate and you're going to pop and they just go up to see Nana. And,
so you run into a lot of what Saget runs into, people who became fans because of his work on television, and they have no idea what to expect when they see you live.
Correct. That's pretty much what it is. So I'm in about 4 minutes in, and I got these two corpses in the front row, and they're on their scooters. And my brother, you know, is like Rain Man, but without the math, goes up to them and says, you know, we really don't want you on scooters. I would love to give you a table, and we're fine on the scooters. Because in the basket, they had a banana and a bucket of quarters. They didn't want to leave that because, you know, someone's going to lift that. So about 4 minutes in, so I look at him and I go, about what time are you going to die? You know, nothing great. And they just sit there and they kind of look at each other. I said, have you been to the Titanic Museum across the way? Because they have your luggage. And right after I say that, they start up the scooters and they start – now, they're in
this
the front
row. This is
4
minutes in?
4 minutes in.
All right.
And they start up, you know, they're nervous because they're – God bless them. You know, they're running out of time.
Sure.
So they're back – they're trying to maneuver the scooters through this busy audience, and I can't stop laughing. And you just see that orange flag bouncing through the audience. And my brother's like, please come back as my guest when Brad's not here. And I – which is what he said. And actually, you know, you've been there when I've had walkouts.
I have.
I've never had anyone drive out.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is the first time that I'm really.
And
just
it was a couple that agreed on it. Didn't say, yeah, I want to stay.
Well, there were 100. You know, it was 8 o'clock. It was breakfast time, and they. It was humiliating.
Brad, we didn't get to the Don Rickles story. We didn't get to the Frank Sinatra story.
Well, I really didn't. I really didn't listen. I didn't let you talk much.
Okay. Can you stick around for one more segment, Mr. Garrett? Is that a possibility? Or do you have someplace you have to go?
You learn not to ask him those questions.
I don't have to go anywhere.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Brad Garrett is here. The book is called When the Balls Drop. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Comedian and actor and author Brad Garrett in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Now, Kevin often accuses me of giving backhanded compliments, so I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm about to say here, Brad.
Okay, now,
totally fine.
That kind of setup means that there's a full-on backhanded compliment.
Not at all.
On the way.
You won 3 Best Supporting Actor Emmys for your work on Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Yeah, yes, but I have to be honest. My housekeeper melted them down and made teeth. So,
okay.
There's...
That doesn't take away from the accomplishment.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Okay.
But
the show was on for 9 years, so that means 2/3 of the time you were on, you did not win an Emmy.
Yes, and a couple of those years, I wasn't even nominated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So on the whole, would you say that was a successful job for you?
No. No, it was just awful.
Okay, so now I'd like to stop the conversation and say, Bean, now that was perhaps not even a backhanded compliment.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay.
But that's why I love Bean. And listen, if anyone deserves that, it's Uncle Comedy. Am I right, Big Rack? All right, honey. All right, you can do Shakespeare off that balcony. Areolas like dinner plates. Am I right, Kevin?
Yes, Allie loves being called Big Rack, by the way. That's
never
her favorite.
Have. I'm going to buy 4 about? More of these bras.
Unbelievable.
All right, Brad, we got to ask you a couple of things
in
the book.
I keep going between her and Pony Boy. I can't decide.
A couple of things
how
in
it's going to work.
Seriously. That we were fascinated
with. You know, just put
me
in the bike basket right next to the kitten pan. That's okay. Drop the drawer off. Okay, I'm sorry. I was going to let you talk, Bean, because it's...
And then you changed your mind.
I know. There's a screeching halt.
Here's what happened during the song. Bean said, Brad, will you allow us to ask some questions?
Yes, I will. I'm only going to answer questions now.
All right. Okay. We are fascinated with, and I hope our audience is as well, of what it was like to be in the orbit of Frank Sinatra. And you opened for Mr. Sinatra for what? 2 or 3 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you feel like you became friends with him, or were you always just kind of...
We were very close. We were very close. We one night we got a little liquored up and took Ava Gardner out to the back 40, and I showed her. I showed her what the rabbi did to me, and then we took Sammy out there and popped his eye out and said, "You're next." So it wasn't a great night, but again, it was
a
little.
Is that a true story?
Just half of it.
Okay.
Yeah, not the part about Ava.
The candy man, put your back into it.
So you did or did not become friends with Frank Sinatra?
Well, it's tough to be friends with Frank. He was very nice to me, very gracious, had no idea who I was because, you know, it was the latter part of his career. You know, he was in his 70s. Mm-hmm. And you know, look, it's like opening for the Pope. So it isn't like he's going to pay attention. And, you know, he was working on, you know, remembering the lyrics. I mean, you know, there was a night when it was the summer wind is a tramp. Bop. And I don't know if you're a fan or not, but the summer wind is not a tramp.
Not a tramp. That's true. No.
And,
That seems like an awfully tough gig, opening for any musician because nobody's there to see comedy. But in particular, opening for Frank Sinatra when that's all people care about is how soon can you get him out to the stage?
Yeah, well that's the thing. And, you know, his audience, you know, not known for their, you know, delicacy.
Right.
You know, and you're walking out there and it's like, Frankie, where's Frank? Where's Frank? Frankie! You know, and they were at one point dancing to my jokes. This was in Atlantic City.
And, slow dancing.
Yeah, and Jilly would, you know, Jilly, who kind of ran the show for Frankie, said, all right, so this is what you do. You go out there, you do some, you know, some make-me-ups, whatever. And when Frank wants you to go on, he'll just tug on the cord, and you say goodnight. And I would say, well, do I do 10? Do I do 20? Do you want the gig? So... Yeah, and I would say, well, yeah, I just want to, if he wants to come on after 10, he comes on after 10. He wants to come on 20, he pulls a cord, and then 25. I said, okay, well, Mr. Rizzo, you know, when you, and I started stammering, and all of a sudden Tom Dreesen walks in and goes, I just did my hair, and he went on, and I ended up opening for Glenn Campbell in Reno. But
is that as good or not as good?
Well, it's different. Okay. It's different. He comes out on a horse, and out a little differently, but he called me Greg Barrett, and I didn't have the balls, you know, to say, you know, he would go, Greg Barrett, everybody. He was very gracious. He'd bring out the opening acts, Greg
right.
Barrett, give him a hand, and you know, I'm taking a bow to another name,
but it's Frank Sinatra, but so you don't correct him.
You don't correct him, and my mom came to a show in Tahoe, and she went, I don't understand why you're walking out to Greg Barrett, another like a schmuck, and you're bowing. I said, well, this is what you do. This is what you do. Backstage on the right night, you go, Frank, I would love a moment. I'm Brad. I'm your opening. May I call you Francis?
That was your mom's advice.
This is my mom. Well, you know, she was, you know, she used to tip it pretty hard.
Sure.
You know, mommy had a little grip on the grave.
Look, your name is whatever Frank Sinatra says your name
is. She was a drinker in vitro. She was a drinker in vitro, and I know a lot of you don't know that.
Speaking of drinking, Brad, and I was fascinated with this part of the book, and I'm sure this has been controversial.
Yeah, bring it to another halt, Bean. Bring it to another halt. No reason to build.
You believe you were an alcoholic big time.
And after this conversation, I may hit it again.
Going right back to it.
And quit on a dime. Like one day you had an epiphany and said, that's it, I'm done. That's, never touched it again since what? April of 97, if I remember correctly,
yes,
right?
Yes,
never touched it again. You were able to just walk away from it and never touch it again. You know how remarkably rare that is?
Well, I'm very grateful. I wish it was the same with the heroin, but I was pretty much done, and you know, I was at that point where like
I don't know people who are pretty much done.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. You have to be done. It's like, you know, the interventions, the rehab,
nothing works.
You gotta be done, and whatever works for you. You know, I mean, AA is amazing, but after two meetings, I went, well, if I keep going to these, I'm gonna, you know, kick out a stained glass window, because you know it's bikers up there going, I knifed my girlfriend in a blackout. You know, and the worst thing I did is, you know, I left the spearmint rhino at One Shoe One. It's the worst thing that happened. You know, and Allie was on the pole going, is this right? Should I bend? And that's how we met. True.
So in all
she just went, that's not true.
She wanted to put that out
She's
there.
Defending it. Yeah. He's killing it.
Yeah, it's a rough room.
You are to be congratulated for that, Brad, because that's remarkable, especially in all the years that have happened since and all the ups and downs you've had, things that you'd want to celebrate or things that you'd want to forget. It seems like it would be so natural to want to take a drink. So that's remarkable.
Well, that was the thing. You know, I was drinking when things were good, and when things were bad, I was drinking. So it was tough to, but yeah, I mean, I know it sounds corny. I'm grateful.
It's more of a struggle for most people.
It is. Well, it is. It is. And, you know, there was a point, you know, until I kind of, you know, I thought there was like this thing that came over me. But I was just done. And as corny as this sounds, you know, it was like I knew I wanted to be a dad. You know, I didn't have a wife at this time. But it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm androgynous. Right, Pan? You know what I'm saying? This is the summer, honey. You're going to blossom. All those milk dogs are going to come out like a thief in the night. Bless her heart. I don't know. She's 28, seriously?
She says she's 28. Yeah,
okay. I got your nose.
She got carded this weekend. We were together. She got carded.
Yes, I do. I got your nose, Chip. I got your nose. Go put on the outfit, and the big Jew's going to pretend that I'm hiding in the tree, and you come up there, and you harvest.
Last question, Brad.
I guess so.
You
can I answer it before you say it?
You are actually a terrific actor. I know you're tough on yourself, but you're actually a terrific actor.
He interrupts a lot.
That's okay.
Yeah, all right.
But I am so excited that you are part of a cast of the second season of Fargo.
Thank you. Going to come on
later this year.
This is where I had trouble running. I didn't want to say.
This was the thing. You needed a stunt runner for 30 yards.
Yeah, and you know, and the director actually went, okay, you're running this after the third take. You're running for your life. Do you understand? And I was like, I do, but I don't like myself. He says, it's like you're jogging. I said, this is full bore. Do you understand?
This is what I have
an L5 issue. I have a fused L5. You know, and he was like, so literally, they called the, I'm going to show you later. I'm going to send you the picture of the double. You know, I'm not an easy
Please
guy
do.
To double.
No, of course not.
So
you're
they get this
6 foot
guy, 6'8", and I'm like Attack of the Giant Accountant, if they were going to do a movie about me.
Right.
Right? So they get this guy, literally, from Calgary. They flew him, and they had to shoot him, you know, from a crane, because he's like half Korean and Egyptian. So it was unbelievable. And you know, But it was just great to be part of that show. And I auditioned. You know, I had to audition. Because,
you did.
Well, they all went, you know, the dopey brother on Raymond, he's not going to be in Fargo. But they were nice enough to let me read.
That's awesome.
And,
do you get nervous? Did you get nervous for that?
I did. Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't love auditioning.
Right.
And the actors that go, oh, I love to audition. I don't think they're being honest. But I was a little apprehensive. I don't know really about nervous, but you know, the bloom is off the rose. I mean, look at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How long can you squeeze it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 15 minutes. That's a good point. Sure. 15. That's a good point.
So you just got to go in and go, look, I'm really grateful. Whatever happens, come on, Kevin and Bean. Right?
Right. So, that's the payoff.
If things get desperate, I'll come on Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. So I did the audition, and after my first reading, you know, they were like, okay, not like that. And I went, okay. I said, can I run in place while I read this? Can I run in place? And but it's a fun role, and it's a departure for me. You know, it's a departure for
well,
me.
Well, I hope it's the start of more opportunities for you to act.
Well, that's very kind of you. That, so. And I'm such a fan, and I know it's been hard for me to get on the show, and I appreciate the opportunity. I hope I haven't disappointed anyone.
Not at all. We enjoyed it very much.
Where do we send the letters? Where do we send the letters?
The book is called When the Please. Somebody else applaud with me. Brad's book is called When the Balls Drop. It's available everywhere. We'll see you again soon, sir.
All right. Be well. Congratulations on 25 years.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:57.
Very special week if you enjoy Ralph and Petros breaking down The Bachelorette. Two episodes this week. Had an episode Monday night, an episode last night. We've got the report for you coming up right after the top of the hour, and you're about an hour away from winning your tickets for You Two at the Roxy as well. Time now for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Quick heads up. I want to remind people that Kevin Smith and I are back on stage this weekend, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. We're bringing Hollywood Babylon back.
No.
We've been off. We were off last week, but we're back again this weekend. If you want to come out and join us Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, me and Kevin Smith, cracking wise about all things showbiz while he gets stoned. He shows up stoned. I get drunk. He shows up stoned.
No, thank you.
Come on, Jim.
No.
It's not a good look, Jim.
No way.
So a little jealous. That's what I'm thinking.
A yes and no.
David Letterman's final show tonight. Boy, it's the end of an era. It really is.
It is. Really is. Kevin was saying that he doesn't remember a time before Letterman was on the TV. It's like his entire life Letterman has been there.
Foo Fighters, David Letterman's favorite band, will serve as the final musical guest tonight. A lot of people are predicting they're going to perform Everlong, which Dave in the past has said is his favorite song from his favorite band. When he had open-heart surgery, according to the Orange County Register, he was gone for a while. When he came back, he requested Foo Fighters be the first band to perform his first week back because he wanted to hear Everlong. That's what Dave Grohl told the Orange County Register.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's also crazy to get that phone call for the final night.
Yeah.
From Letterman.
So check it out tonight. A lot of people saying they're going to stay up late. The first time in a long time to watch that show. So it could be good. Jimmy Kimmel was on last night talking about it. Just crying like a wuss, just bawling like a child. You know, Letterman means the world to him, and I think Dave was as sad as anyone for Dave to leave late-night television. Here's a little piece from his monologue last night.
Watching late night, not only did I learn how to do everything from Dave, the reason I have this show is because the executives at ABC... saw me when I was a guest on Dave's show and hired me to host this show. So I want to thank Dave and his writers and producers. Tomorrow night is Letterman's farewell show, and I would like it if you'd make sure to watch that instead of our show. We will have a show tomorrow night, but it's going to be a rerun. Please do not watch it, especially if you're a young person who doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. Dave is the best, and you should see him. And...
Just saying. Come on.
You guys are awful.
Oh, the whole, whole Kimmel crowd there. Is that Cleto in the background I'm hearing? Is he crying too?
It is, yeah.
Sam Smith's vocal cord surgery was a success. This coming out of Massachusetts General Hospital. People Magazine was told yesterday, which was Sam's birthday, as we mentioned, that the... vocal cord surgery was a complete success, and he hopes to be back on stage in the UK in time for a gig on July the 3rd. Sounds like he's pushing it.
July the 3rd.
But by all accounts, he should be 100%. I think I need that surgery. I've been froggy all morning.
He sent out a tweet saying that he was having vocal surgery, so if you saw him on the street and he didn't say hi, don't think that he's being rude.
He just
literally can't talk for three weeks now.
He's under strict orders not to make any noise whatsoever.
That would be tough as a celebrity.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's hard when you're boning, too.
Okay.
Yes. Like this.
Yes.
Just make that face.
That's a terrible face to look at, Ralph. Please don't do that.
Just saying the O face looks worse without the moaning and the groaning, you know?
Do not
it's not that bad.
Ever see that again.
That's fine, but if you're quiet, you go.
Okay, that's fine.
Nope. How do you let somebody know you're having a good time?
Nope.
Right? Who's with me?
No people.
Who's
no
boning?
One. Zero.
Anybody out there
you.
Boning? If you're boning, call in 1-800-520-1067. Let me hear you bone.
And we didn't need to see what you're doing with your thumb either.
I love it.
I have an email here, but I'm out of time.
Oh, it's too bad. The next hour.
I'm also torn up between this big beef between Surf City Nissan and Costa Mesa Nissan. I don't know. I'm worried someone's going to get hurt.
It does seem like it's getting pretty serious.
I mean, I know we work with Beer Mug, but Dival's got some strong points. He does. And I'm afraid someone's going to get stabbed.
Those West Coast feuds
really,
are tough,
it's,
man.
It's getting real, and I'm disturbed. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm Team Costa Mesa or Team Surf City. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Busta Rhymes is 43 years old today. NASCAR driver Tony Stewart is 44. Timothy Olyphant, very talented actor. He is 47. If you've never seen the movie Hitman, I know they're making a new one. They're doing a Hitman 43, I think it's going to be the sequel. If you've never seen the original Hitman, it's sort of a low budge, but very sort of sleek and sophisticated
I love that.
Actioner.
I love that.
I like that film, too.
And the girl had a tattoo on her face and still made it look good. Who
that
was she?
Girl was Olga Kurylenko.
Oh, okay.
Who later went on to be a Bond girl and to be in Magic City and stuff. And that was the first time I saw her, too. But, yeah, she did have a face tattoo in the movie.
Girls could rock a face tattoo and make it look attractive.
Stunning in that. Tony Goldwyn, 55 years old today. Bronson Pinchot is 56. And singer Cher is 69 years old today. Beat and I were reminiscing about David Letterman saying that he was the man who brought Sonny and Cher back together again for the first time. Only time, as far as I know, before his death. Before Sonny's death, to sing I Got You, Babe, on his show. He kind of coerced them into doing it, and it was a very cool TV moment.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? That's dull. Awfully dismissive.
Well, how is that dull?
Dull.
One of the great duets of all time.
Whatever.
Them famously, a horrible divorce. They didn't speak to each other, and he got them back together to perform him. Kevin.
Dull.
Stupid, dumb doll.
It was dull.
It was not dull.
I Got You, Babe is a terrible song. First of all, that's not
terrible
the point.
Song.
It happens to be a great song, but that's
oh
not even the point.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
These are people who had barely spoken in 10 years, much less been in the same room, much less performed together.
That doesn't make the song
and they
good.
They did it for Letterman,
but
though.
It's about the moment, Kevin. It's not about the damn song.
Don't be so boring.
Don't
it's about
be so
them
dumb.
Looking at each other and singing at each other and kind of putting the bad blood for a decade behind them for Dave. That's what was cool about it.
That's funny. I don't recall asking for a really, 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 really boring story. My God. Don't you understand? No one cares.
Back to you, Ralph.
You're a special breed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Ralph. Let's have some magic. What's going on?
Oh. Last night, a very emotional bachelorette. Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. When Petra's Papa thinking, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about the bachelorette. Yeah.
Sounds like maybe Omar is not on board with your favorite show, but I know you're in, Ralph, and I know our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 is as well. Hey, P, welcome back, sir. How are you this morning?
Some of us believe in love, some of us don't.
Word, word, Mr. P.
So, Ralph, when we spoke with you guys yesterday, it sounds like the first episode of the season, Monday Night, kind of ended on a little bit of a cliffhanger where
yes.
we did not yet know which of the two ladies vying to be this season's Bachelorette would be selected.
Both of the girls had their boxes stuffed with roses.
I'm sorry?
Oh. I'm saying, yeah, it was a very close vote. A lot of guys put roses in their box.
Right. All the girls invited the guys to put roses in their boxes.
What does that mean?
To vote for who they wanted the Bachelorette to be.
Define box.
They had a box there with a lady's picture
oh, I
next
see.
To
okay.
it.
All right.
And if you took a rose and you dropped it in her box, that meant that you were voting for her to be the Bachelorette.
I think you stop ringing the bell now, Bean.
So
okay.
whatever
you know,
girl had the most roses in her box
right.
would
okay.
be the most pursued lady of the season.
Right. And the other one gets kicked off?
The other one gets, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. That's what she gets.
It was very, very quick. It was almost like that guy getting his head cut off in Game of Thrones this year. It's like you didn't know it was going to happen, and then bang, you know, the head just got severed.
Yeah.
And it happened fast.
Bad News Harrison came out of the house, and...
so tired of him, man.
Oh, come on! I love Chris Harrison.
How could his head be so big and his mouth be so small?
He goes up... to the lovely Brit. For those who don't know, the two girls are Brit and Caitlin. Caitlin is the rapping Canadian, and Brit is the girl that looks like what Angelina Jolie would look like if she was hot.
Okay. Or a cartoon
Stop
drawing.
It!
He goes up to the lovely Brit, and here's what he says.
I'll get right to it. I counted the votes.
Okay.
A majority of the men have chosen one woman who they can hopefully see a future with. Brit, unfortunately, you're not going to be the bachelorette.
Tough love right there.
And imagine that moment. I was doing a 1980s style breakdancing headspin on my bed.
And
my wife cried.
And I was crying like Darth Vader into the night.
Hey, nice filibuster by Harrison. Unfortunately, they have chosen a man.
P, come on. You know reality shows. You got to build the tension in those moments.
It out. He knows what he's doing, man. He stretched it out, and I was happy to see the heartbreak in Brit because she showed up last night acting all bougie or two nights ago like, oh, you know, this is so exciting. This is great. No, I'm not worried about it at all. I have faith in the process. It's like, okay, have faith in the process on the limousine home, Brit.
You are a mean person. And then beautiful Brit, she's in the limo all by herself crying.
I want to be away from mom or anything in the world, and I feel like meeting men who are also looking for that and feeling that connection is such a... I'm still grateful for the experience, but I almost wish that I hadn't met them. Because that makes it harder to walk away from.
Aww. Little Brad.
Permit me a question.
Listen to him laughing in the background.
She had just met them, right?
Yes,
okay.
But they
met him that night.
But they were a charming group of drunks and hillbillies with giant foreheads.
You guys don't get it. You don't know what it's like to put yourself out there, you know? To put yourself
right
out there.
Right. To put it all on the line, P. To break down those walls.
To scoop your heart out of your chest with an ice cream scooper and plop it in front of a bunch of douchebags.
Right.
Is there a desperation in I want to be a wife and mother more than anything in the world? Like, that seems like the main focus of her life.
It would be if she was telling the truth.
Okay.
But I don't believe she is. I know for a fact she's a model and an actress, and I think maybe she's got maybe something else on her plate.
Yeah, at least we agree that she's fake.
Yeah.
She's hot. There's no
way
doubt
hot.
About it. And I'm sure she'll be back or something stupid will happen with her. But she is faker than a $3 bill.
But we have not seen the last of Brit. We both agree with that, right?
No, and I hope to see more of her. And, you know, the best we can get in The Bachelor these days, the thing that drives us crazy like seventh grade boys, is when we hear moaning of a camera shot looking at a hotel room window.
All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to that at the end.
Slow down, P.
Slow your roll.
Slow down.
I know you are.
I can't wait to slut shame somebody.
I know you are. But I'm thinking, what happens to the guys who are there in the house now with Caitlin, who obviously put their rose in Brit's box?
Now, does everybody know that?
Everybody knows that they had to vote on who it was.
Right,
and
I'm
some of the guys know they voted for Brit, and she's gone.
Some guys talk about what box they stuffed, and other guys are more genuinely about it.
Right. Some guys are vague about where they put their rose in whose box.
Right.
But a lot of other people are saying, well, I admit it. I was all for Brit. I wanted her to be the bachelorette. Now, what do you do now if you're in that house and you're with the bachelorette, but she's not the one you want?
You have to leave because this is about real love.
Well, if you're a healer like Tony is. Remember Tony, our healer?
The massage therapist
who kisses plants?
Yeah.
He's got a real quandary now.
My heart just truly resonated with Brit, and knowing that she's not going to be here now, I mean, it definitely does, you know, hurt me. So where does that leave me? You know, there's only, you know, one drinking fountain, and we all must stand in the same line. But I'm almost ready to go home and, you know, just dig my own well.
Oh,
yeah. And by dig his own well, you know what that's a euphemism for.
Yeah,
he's
going to
go home and he's going to dig the well.
Yep.
Yeah,
we got it.
I was digging the well last night looking at Brit on the screen.
Okay. Oh, that's what it means? It means pulling the goalie?
And the good thing about Caitlin, right away she starts making out with dudes. So we know she's got a morally casual attitude.
Oh, she is a freaking tongue bandit.
She was going with the dentist. They were just already macking out on the first night at the cocktail party.
And I thought he was gay.
I did too.
What?
Well, he did show up in a giant cupcake.
Very effeminate.
He rolled up to the mansion on a unit, on a tricycle that had been outfitted with a suit to make it look like he was inside a cupcake.
Was he at the right show?
He wasn't at Let's Make a Deal. He was actually on The Bachelor.
Okay.
And he drove up in a cupcake saying, you know, I'm a dentist, and I usually don't say you should have sweet things, but in your case, I'll make an exception.
Oh,
he brought this giant cupcake. So the one, actually, Tony the Healer had the best line of the night, I thought, regarding the dentist making out with Caitlin. And we all thought he was gay, but apparently we were all surprised.
Can't judge a book by its cupcake.
Yeah. See? Can't judge a book by its cupcake.
Wow, Tony the Healer got pretty homophobic there all of a sudden.
He got a zinger in.
Yeah, geez. I mean, I got to say, if you're going to be a dentist, you should probably shave down your teeth so you don't look like a vampire that's about to bite somebody's head clean off.
That's a good idea. Then Brady, the singer from Nashville, in the rose ceremony, as she is deciding now who she's going to keep around and who she's going to let go, Brady steps up and pulls her aside early on and makes this confession.
Oh. If I'm honest with you, myself, my heart is with the woman who left a couple hours ago. Hopefully I'll see you again. See ya.
He doesn't even know her name.
He does know her name. He goes to find her. He goes off to find Britt because he really feels for Britt. He doesn't want to stick around with this Canadian hoe bag.
Yeah, and he drops a Goodwill Hunting on the camera saying that he's going to go see about a lady.
Yeah.
And he gets in a limo to go find Britt, and they have a very convenient shot of Britt sitting on a hotel room bed crying her eyes out. I don't know how the camera got in there.
Oh, yeah, that's odd.
Because it's real.
Here comes this terrible singer-songwriter from Nashville in a stupid necklace and a wide neck shirt rolling up. Like she's going to be happy to see this douche.
Well, they may be. We don't know. That was sort of the cliffhanger last night.
Oh, like anybody cares.
Wait, so we're going to follow them on their path and all of The Bachelorette?
Maybe. We'll see.
Contestants.
But the best part was, and this is what P was alluding to earlier, is they showed you scenes from the upcoming episodes of this season.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it turns out our little Canadian friend, Caitlin, she's a goer, man. She is just doing everybody on the show. Not waiting for fantasy sweet night, just banging left and right, apparently.
Oh, her nether regions, or whatever you want to call it, her loins are on fire. I mean, they are. She just, the second day she became the Bachelorette, she started a hip action that she could not stop.
But it looks like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like she sleeps with one of the contestants early on and it gets out to the other guys on the show.
Well, we got fooled last year now. Remember, Ralph? Last year we thought that what's-his-name got oral pleasure from a girl in a tent.
Right.
They set it up like that, Chris Soules. And it didn't go down like that. Not at all.
So you're saying you might not trust this?
I don't trust it, but all she right. does. There is moaning. There is hotel room moaning.
Yes.
With the camera on the outside of the window. There's a guy running naked.
Okay.
Out of her room.
And there is
that doesn't seem good.
Yes.
And there is a sexual confession to the guys.
Right. There is that one scene where she says, I had sex with that guy.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's why I thought maybe she had sex with the guy.
All hell broke loose.
Yeah.
It seems
guys start to question whether she's there for the right reasons.
Nobody's there for the right reasons. Let's stop saying that.
Kevin's there, for the right reasons.
All right, is the show on Mondays or Tuesdays?
It's on Monday nights.
Okay.
And so far we lost Brady, the singer. We lost the stripper. We lost the fat guy who showed up in the carpool.
Yeah.
And one of the black guys, naturally, because they don't last long.
But we have two other black guys, and one of them is from the Super Mario Brothers, King Koopa.
His name is Koopa. That's
King
true.
Koopa.
I don't believe it's King Koopa. I just think his name is Koopa.
It is hard to beat King Koopa. You can get to the boss, but it's hard to beat him, man. Koopa might be in it for the long haul.
He might be.
The Bachelorette airs Monday nights at 9 on ABC. You can listen to our Fred Petras along with Matt Money Smith on Fox Sports 1, of course, and also 3 to 7 in the afternoon, AM 570 LA Sports. P, thanks for the time. Ralph, thank you. This has been the Bachelorette Report. Hey, is Ralph joining us for this to talk to his little friend here?
Yes, he's on his way.
Okay. By the way, 9 o'clock this morning, once again, we got tickets for you to join U2 at the Roxy, the biggest band in the world, playing the smallest club of the world. First time in 40 years they played a venue this small, and you can win your way in. You cannot buy these tickets. You can win them from K-Rock every hour from 9 a. to 9 p. again today. So that means 45 minutes from right now or less, you'll be able to win. All right, Ralph, what's going on? What's the situation here?
Well, I'm just really concerned for a dear, dear friend of mine, and she is a good friend of mine and my wife. She's like an aunt to our daughter, Olivia. We love Gabby is her name, and we just think she's one of the greatest people we know, except for the fact that she's got an issue. She's got a problem, and we're concerned about her.
Is that going to get in the way of your friendship?
I don't know. It might if she does what she's threatening to do.
What is she threatening to do?
Be all weird and creepy.
Hi, Gabby. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
Hi. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you so much for joining us. What has got Ralph so concerned right now?
I think it has to do with the fact that I have a dog, and she's my first pet that, like, I've owned on my own.
Right.
I've had dogs before with, like, you know, family.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really close to me, and mm-hmm. I love her to death. And should she, you know, when she passes, I would like to have her rearticulated.
So you would like to have her what?
Rearticulated.
Is that when you swallow her and then vomit her back up?
No, that's regurgitated.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. What does that word mean?
What it means is you just take her bones and you, form a skeleton out of it, and you can pose them into different positions. And
wait, so
yeah.
And she wants to put it on display in her home. Her bone dog, her dog of bones.
Yes.
So like an art piece almost, because it's not stuffed. It's just the bones.
Nope. Not taxidermy.
Why wouldn't you go taxidermy?
It's not her dog looking like her dog. It's just the bleached, boiled bones, Allie, wired together like you'd see at the Natural History Museum in her house.
All right, let me just ask you, Gabby, and the question is, taxidermy equals the dog looks like your dog.
No,
why would you go the bone route?
No, that's creepy, she said.
What did she say? That's creepy?
Yes, taxidermy's creepy.
Taxidermy's creepy because it is her, but it's not, you know, the eyes are fake. It's just not right. Like, to me,
but the bones are better. The dog bones.
But how are the bones more her, that with no skin, no fur, because, no eyes, no tail?
Because it's her. It's, you know, there's DNA in there, so I know that it's her and it's her bones, whereas... Yeah, taxidermy just seems really creepy. Like,
That's way creepy.
Right. So when friends come to your house, they look in the corner of your bedroom, and there's your dog bones standing there.
Standing.
You want him sitting, right?
I want her sitting. So she's going to be sitting with her hind legs and, you know, a tail wrapped around. And then I want to have her head cocked.
She's not going to have a tail.
She's going to have a tail. It's not a bone.
There's a bone in the tail.
Is there a bone in the tail?
I believe there's a tailbone. Yeah.
Well, this is a small dog, I assume.
No, it's a German Shepherd.
What?
Gabby!
It's a big-ass German Shepherd.
Where are you going to put this?
Just like in the living room, like when you walk in.
Oh, just in the living room, okay.
That's all.
Right when you walk in the door. Gabby, have you done any research into this? Is this a thing that people do? Is it offered?
Yes, you can. There's a lot of places that you can send in your dog and
send in your dog and three cereal box tops, and we'll send you back some bones.
Could you send your dog in now and have it done?
No, because she's alive.
Oh, I see. Oh, that matters to you. Okay.
Yeah, we're crazy.
It matters to you. All right. Yeah. So, Ralph, your question is, are you overreacting to how weird this makes you feel, or is this a thing that people do that's okay, right? That's what we're trying
to
decide?
That's what we're trying to determine, because she told me, and I was like, that is freaking weird. She goes, well, let's tell your wife, Carrie. I'm sure she'll understand. And she said, what do you think, Carrie? And Carrie said, that is freaking weird. So she said, I bet if you told Bean on your show, I think Bean would be down with that. Bean, what do you think?
I've never heard of this before. I get the taxidermy thing because you can pet your dog and it looks like your dog and it's like your dog is still around. I get that. I don't know that you get those warm fuzzies off of the pet skeleton, though. I mean,
still pet a skeleton.
You're going to
pet a skeleton.
You're going to pet the dog bones.
I was petting a skeleton last night, actually.
I'm inclined to say it's okay. It's like it's kind of a personal decision. Whatever makes her happy, I'm fine with. But
Ralph's question is it sort of you do
I'm
that?
I'm saying if you walk into somebody's house.
Right.
And you see a big pile of German Shepherd bones wired together in the corner of the room.
Yeah. I'm walking right back out.
If it's not Tim Burton's house, I'm thinking that's weird.
I just don't understand why it's considered weird. Like, I just...
How many houses... dog bones in your house!
How many houses have you walked into, Gabby, where there were dog bones?
None.
Oh,
right!
Huh.
I feel like you could almost look like an art piece, so... But then when you tell people, what's your dog's name, Gabby?
Addie.
Then you say, no, that's Addie. That was my German Shepherd. Then it's real weird. Gabby.
Do we need Judges Kevin Amin?
I think we need to put her in the courtroom.
Now entering the courtroom, Defendant Gabby.
who wants to strip the flesh off her dead dog and put the bones in her living room like some sort of freaky statue. We will make a decision here, in this courtroom, with judges Kevin and Bean.
All right, let's line up some witnesses. If you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, you can either speak for the prosecution or the defense. What do you think about Gabby's decision to have a pet skeleton? 1-800-520-1067. Your testimony and a ruling coming up next on K-Rock. Kevin and Bean Court is in session. Let's ask the bailiff to reset for those just joining us.
In the courtroom is defendant Gabby. She wants to turn her living room into a natural history museum by posting the dead bones of her German Shepherd where everyone can see. Creepy or not creepy? That decision will be made by judges Kevin and Bean.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to weigh in on this. Gabby, the defender, are you still there with us, dear?
I am.
All right, fantastic.
How's your dog doing?
She's good. She's lying next to me sleeping.
Oh, well, she doesn't know what she's in store for.
She doesn't.
She should be running like a scalded cat.
All right, let's take some witnesses, get them up here on the stand and find out what they have to say. Why don't we start with Josh, please, in Downey on line one. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, strange.
We're looking for some expert testimony on whether this is creepy or not creepy that my friend Gabby wants to put her beloved dog on display as bones when the dog passes away.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, I got a couple of questions, actually. Is she also going to eat his heart to keep a little part of him inside of her after he's done?
That's a valid question, Gabby.
It's true. Gabby, are you planning on eating any part of your dog?
No, she will not be eaten.
You can make a stew. You could boil the flesh off the bones and make a nice stew.
You keep his heart in your belly. His heart in your belly.
See? There you go.
All right. I can't tell whether Josh is voting creepy or not creepy. Because Josh sounds pretty creepy himself.
Is that, I think we've just discredited the witness. I think we're just going to ask him to step down.
Yeah.
By the way, Gabby, as creepy as eating your dog's heart sounds to you, that's how creepy you keeping your dog's skeleton sounds to everybody else, just so you know. All right. Let's move on to, wow, look at this. Let's go to Phil. He's in Huntington Beach. He's on line four, our next witness.
All right. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Phil, big shout-out to IBW Local 47 High Voltage Lineman. I worked as a troubleman, and I've seen dead people. It's my understanding that you can go down to the coroner's office, and if a body is unclaimed, you can request it.
What's
There's competition because medical schools want them, but, hey, it's worth a try.
I'm scared.
What is happening right now?
I don't know. Wow. I love it. I don't know who you are.
If I'm not mistaken, Phil is recommending you get a human body as well, maybe to get the bones of a human that you could pose with your dog.
I'll have a human skeleton petting my dog.
You don't want a human skeleton petting your dog?
Oh, sure. That's too weird for you, Gabby. Is that what you're saying? All right,
no.
Phil does not get to vote either. I'm sorry.
Wow. Should we disqualify him as well?
Phil, yes.
I'm afraid so.
Phil's scaring me.
What's happening with you people?
Well, that's what happens when you open up the bone talk.
Let's go to Torrance, please, and speak with the lovely Lauren. She is on line five. I think she's going to give us the first useful bit of testimony that we can use.
All Lauren, right. Hi.
Hi.
Lauren, what's your idea?
I don't think it's as creepy as if you gotten like a taxidermy done. So no, I don't think it's.
So you think the bones are less creepy than taxidermy?
Oh, by far! Like the taxidermy, the eyes are like staring at you, whereas the bones is just kind of like sitting there.
Shut up, Gabby! You can't agree with her.
Yes.
You're on the stand.
You're not on the stand.
That's true. The bones' eyes won't be staring at me because there's no effing eyes in the bones.
But, Lauren, look, I'm not trying to argue with you. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. But, I mean, I think there are some who would say that the taxidermy is way less creepy because at least it looks like your pet. You can pet it. It has your pet's fur, your pet's feet.
Okay, to me, that's weird. That is so weird to me. Let me go pet my once-alive dog that is now sitting there.
Well, let me go pet my bones. Is that weird? Let me go pet the bones in the corner.
No, let me sit there and admire the anatomy of my once-alive dog. That's not as weird.
I think we got to discredit her as well. A lot of DQs going on here.
No, I think Lauren's opinion is valid, but I think there may be a love connection between her and Gabby. I'm not sure.
All right, let's move on to Laura next up in Glendora, please. She's on line two here in Kevin and Bean courtroom.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, guys. I have a question. Are the bones movable?
Oh, good point.
No, they're not.
No, you have to put them in one position?
Why? Do you want to pose them in different ways around the house?
Yeah, I thought that if they were movable, it's not as creepy because you could come home and... every time you come home, someone has in a different position. I thought it'd be kind of funny.
Like an action figure. Like a dead dog action figure.
What is happening?
I like Laura.
With you people.
So, Laura, creepy or not creepy to have a pet skeleton?
Okay, movable, not creepy. Not movable, creepy.
That's the weirdest distinction ever.
All if you can move it and put like a top hat on it and make it dance and stuff, if it's like a puppet, then it's okay.
All right. Yeah. I think that was a vote for creepy. By the way, Ken from Torrance writes in, what do you guys think about this? When my cat died, I buried it, but I recently dug up its bones, deciding I would display him. Right now, his skull is up on a shelf. My vote would be she's fine.
Well,
he buried
sure.
the cat and then dug the cat back up.
Keeper of the pet cemetery, yeah.
Did he dig it up with his paws?
He thinks it's fine.
All right, that's all the time we're going to have for witness testimony here. Unfortunately, give me the music again. I think we're going to have to make some sort of a decision here on whether this is creepy or not creepy that Gabby wants to turn her dog into a pet skeleton. Ralph, what say you, please?
Well, you know where I stand in this. I think as much as Gabby loves Addie, and I know she does, I think maybe when it's time for Addie to go, it's time for Addie to go. I say no skeleton.
No skeleton. Allie, girls don't really get a vote, but let's hear what you have to say anyway.
Oh, just thanks so much. You're very kind. After hearing all those calls, Gabby is the least creepy person around.
That's
so
true.
I'm going to go ahead with the bones,
wow.
Gabby.
One vote yes bones, one vote no bones.
I agree with Allie, by the way. I think Gabby is starting to sound like the sanest listener we have, and I am satisfied that all she wants to do is have a pet skeleton compared to everybody else.
I agree as well, because I would like Ralph to walk into someone's house and see dog bones.
Well,
that makes me happy.
Gabby, I guess it's on.
Awesome, thank you.
With our blessings, please enjoy.
Don't really have to dig very deep for our listeners to get super weird.
No, but you just scratch
right,
that surface.
It's right there.
You just lance that boil, and it all comes out.
Wow.
By the way, Phil, if you're still listening,
nope.
I'd like you to call the show every day.
Nope. I would
please.
Too, please.
Every day, several times a day.
He's scared.
He's got
me.
A lot to offer.
He was
He's
the best.
He's got a lot to offer. What's your name? Allie.
Yeah.
And I think you too. Actually, there might be something there. Might be a little.
I think so as well.
Love connection.
A little magic.
I think so.
All right.
Hey, what about more U2 tickets at the Roxy coming up in about 10 minutes? What about Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat right now here on a Wednesday morning? Kevin and Meacham.
Just a real quick recap. I don't know if you caught it or not, but Caitlin is the Bachelorette. Not Britt. Britt got the heave-ho last night. Just want to give a recap in case you were curious.
I'm outraged.
I know I was.
Who cares? Who cares?
Speaking of reality shows and winners and losers, congratulations to Rumor Willis. Rumor Willis, your table is ready. No, the coveted winner of the Mirror Ball Trophy there on Dancing with the Stars. So now you know who the big winner is, Rumor Willis.
So she was on the show, I'm taking it?
She was. And she was one of the three finalists, along with Noah Galloway. Who, of course, is the American serviceman who lost a leg and an arm in protecting our freedom. I'm glad he got screwed over. I'm glad he got
Rumor is proud.
I'm glad he got booted out. And Riker Lynch, of course, the famous Riker Lynch.
Oh, Riker Lynch. Oh, Riker Lynch. He or she is the best.
Riker Lynch, who I believe invented hanging. Yeah, I don't know any of these people, but...
Was this in the news?
Season 20 champions, Rumor Willis and her partner, Val Chermerkovsky.
Right.
This sounds like I'm just making
it
stuff
does.
Up.
You're just, it does. You're just, that's nonsense.
Speaking of winners, again, The Voice. The Voice last night crowned its winner. So congratulations to Sawyer Fredericks. Sawyer Fredericks.
That was the one that that Allie likes, I think.
I
the
did,
16-year-old
like
kid with like hair down to his waist or something.
He had long hair. Ray LaMontagne wrote a song for him to perform as an original.
Sounds like a smelly hippie to me.
Yeah, I think he's definitely, if he's not there yet, he's heading in that direction. He sang a Neil Young song this week, for God's sake.
God bless him.
Long-haired hippie, smelly hippies. Get a haircut and a job, Sawyer Fredericks.
Right?
Get off your beanbag chair and turn off your lava lamp and get out there and make something of yourself in society.
Hippies. I mean, period. Hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. Hippies.
Turn off your 8-track player and get out there and put out the incense and pick up a book.
That's right.
Bob Hope's with me.
Bob Hope's with you, strangely.
Absolutely.
See?
That ain't bad either.
I've got Bob Hope's 100% backing right there.
I wasn't expecting him to chime in.
Nor was I. I'd like to have Bob Hope's bones put in my room, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Isn't that something?
It sure is.
It would be something.
I want to tell you. What's happening?
I don't know.
Tonight is David Letterman's final television program, Paul.
That's right.
Paul, it's our final television program, Paul.
That's right, Dave. It's the last show we're going to do.
Foo Fighters is going to be the musical guest on tonight's show. Dave's favorite band.
That's awesome.
Singing, we believe, his favorite song, which is Everlong. So I'm guessing the band will be there performing that on Dave's final show. It's a very emotional time for many of us. None more so than our good friend Jimmy Kimmel, who last night was talking about Dave's influence on him and his career during his monologue, and frankly got a little choked up.
Watching Late Night, not only did I learn how to do everything from Dave, the reason I have this show is because the executives at ABC saw me when I was a guest on Dave's show and hired me to host this show. So I want to thank Dave and his writers and producers. Tomorrow night is Letterman's farewell show, and I would like it if you'd make sure to watch that instead of our show. We will have a show tomorrow night, and it's going to be a rerun. Please do not watch it, especially if you're a young person who doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. Dave is the best, and you should see him. And
he was a pussy.
You know, oh, Jim, it's okay, Jim. Somebody hug Jimmy, please.
Jimmy.
Somebody give Jimmy a hug. He's in a bad way. Did you know Dave's production company, Worldwide Pants, co-produced Sonic Highways for Foo Fighters?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were co-producers on that show.
Huh.
So there's a long-standing relationship between those guys.
Interesting.
That's right.
See, Bob Hope knows.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bob. Real quick email here from a podcast listener, Dave from Ukaipa, talking about something we had to go through this week. And it's been hanging heavy for all of us. It's just Kevin cut off Bono while we were talking to him.
Well, I mean,
it was very upsetting for
him. He was done.
Podcaster Dave writes the following. The first time Kevin hung up on someone, Sir Paul frickin' McCartney, I gave it to him. I thought it was a mistake. He pulled a Kevin. And from then on, he would be more careful. How wrong I was. Now, Bono? Bono?
He was finished.
Does Kevin treat his wife and kids this way? What a dick. I guess now we all know for a fact that Kevin hangs up on everybody.
Kevin hangs up on everybody. Kevin hangs up on everybody. Kevin hangs up on everybody.
Well, you know, you
right. That's a good point.
I feel the same way, Bob. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anybody expecting a big dose of Bob Hope today?
Nope.
No, I didn't
Not
see that
at all.
Coming either.
I'm see that coming.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. That ain't bad either.
Bob saw it. Singer Cher is 69 years old today. Actor Bronson Pinchot turns 56. Balky from Perfect Strangers. Tony Goldwyn from Scandal, 55 years old. Timothy Oliphant is 47. Tony Stewart of the NASCAR Racers, 44 years old. And rapper Busta Rhymes turns 43. Give me a little Busta. You got a little Busta?
Here we go now. And you know every time Busta must be holding a fort on the spot. I'll be shutting it down. The way we put it on. Coming through like a steamroll on me and Drex. Ain't no effing around. Come on. Yeah, what up? Me and my team got a link. Cause you know we stay chopping it up. And when we get up in the club, oh, I'm up to look at the bar. Now we knocking it up. And we get a little high. And we get a little drunk. And we get a little drunk. Yeah, give me the answer. Then we want to bang this out your trunk. Come on. Get money, get
rap music. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, right?
Right.
He's with me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Wesley McRae from Venice. Just got tickets to see U2 at the Roxy.
Oh, Wesley just got so popular with his friends.
Yep. And we have those tickets every hour from 9 to 9 every day here on K-Rock.
Do you have that tape handy, Kevin?
That tape of that baby crying on the TV last night?
I do.
Watching Late Night, not only did I learn how to do everything from Dave, the reason I have this show is because the executives at ABC saw me when I was a guest on Dave's show and hired me to host this show. So I want to thank Dave and his writers and producers. Tomorrow night is Letterman's farewell show, and I would like it if you'd make sure to watch that instead of our show. We will have a show tomorrow night. It's going to be a rerun. Please do not watch it, especially if you're a young person who doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. Dave is the best, and you should see him. And
come on, Kimmel.
Why would I call in for this? I have been avoiding listening or seeing any video of that, and I have to call and...
Come on, guys.
You can't wait to both of you. We'll see who's crying then.
You can't possibly be surprised, though, Jims.
It's not that I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm just disappointed.
No. All right. How many times have you cried on national television, Jim?
Far too many. Far too many.
A handful. Not many, though, right?
I don't know. Probably 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Look, it's well known you're David Letterman's biggest fan. You have been since he's been on the air. You know, you idolized him. I know that. But what is it about now? Is it that he's leaving, that he's not going to be on anymore? Is that what's making you so sad?
I think maybe that – I've been thinking about this. And by the way, you're a couple of a-holes. I've been thinking about this. I think that it might be another sign that death is coming. I think that might be part of what it is.
Death is coming to you?
Yes, to
what?
All of us.
To it all is. Of us. Huh. Yeah, we all get old and age out.
And it is, it's like, you know, it's one of these things that has been, we've had since we were kids. Well, I have anyway. The two of you are probably in your mid-20s.
We've had it since
we were kids, and now it's gone.
Right. How much time in recent years have you even had the time to be able to still watch Dave, though?
Oh, I watch all the time.
Really? Even now, as busy as you are?
You have to realize that. I get everything 3 hours earlier.
Right.
Plus, I stay up to like 2 o'clock in the morning.
So even now, as an adult and a competitor of Dave, you still are watching him every bit as much as you did back in the early days?
Well, no. In the early days, I never, ever missed the show. I mean, never, ever. But, I watch regularly.
By the way, I just want to mention that tape that we just played was from last night saying tomorrow night. So tonight is Dave's final show. So make sure and tune in tonight. Now, Jimmy, when you said on the show, don't watch my program, did the people at ABC go, hey, a little less of that?
Well, they were very nice because I wanted to just put a black screen up that said, go watch Dave or something like that. And that, I don't know, that's the sort of thing the affiliates don't care for, but yeah. They did let us, and it's sweep, so it was nice of them to let us put a rerun up.
How many times were you a guest on the Letterman Show, Jim?
8.
Wow. And was there one time, it's vague in my memory, but was there one time where you had something very elaborate planned and you ended up getting bumped?
Yeah, the first time I was supposed to be on the show, I had a big tattoo of Dave's face drawn onto my body and a little tattoo of Paul's face drawn onto my arm. And the idea was I was going to take my shirt off and, you know, show Dave, you know, that when I was a teenager, I got a tattoo of him. And I got bumped, and I forgot about the tattoo, and we went out drinking afterwards. And
good.
I got home at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I took my clothes off in the bathroom, and there was Dave's face looking at me.
Did you ever feel making that many appearances on the show that you got through to him and that you guys had some sort of a connection? Because we've always heard famously that he doesn't really talk to the guests all that much. Did you feel like you guys were friendly with one another?
I do, yeah, I do. Yeah, and he did my show also.
I remember that when you were in Brooklyn, he did your show, and it was,
you know,
great.
For me, it was probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to me career-wise.
What would you like to see Mr. Letterman do on his final show tonight?
I'd like to see him talk about me and cry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like that would make sense.
It seems like the
least. He owes you. He owes you a bit.
I have to tell you something. You know, I've been planning to say something about Dave for, I guess a week or so. I figured, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to say something. So, and I hate to speak seriously on television. And so I was thinking about it, and I wrote some things down, and I was thinking about it in my dressing room during the day. I was like, oh, yeah, this is fine. I'm not going to cry. I don't have any of those, like, you know. And it was not, of course, all the writers had bets on when I would start crying.
Sure.
The winner was, I mean, I think I started crying during the words, still to come, George Clooney or something. So,
wait, Jimmy, but you didn't think that was going to happen?
No, I had no, I was certain that it wasn't going to happen. Huh. And in fact, I told Cleto, my band leader, that he had to say something about Paul Schaefer, partly to take the pressure off me, because I thought it would be so funny for Cleto to say something, because Cleto was much worse than I am in these types of situations. So
yeah.
I figured I'd pin all the pressure on him, and it would make me kind of relax and laugh about it.
And he didn't help.
What's that?
He didn't really help you with that.
No, it didn't really help.
Well, it was a very sweet moment. It was very heartfelt,
thanks,
Jimmy.
Thanks.
Let me ask you two more quick things. One is, we had this conversation.
I think the last time I cried is when you fell off the stage, Bean, by the way.
Yeah, that was true.
Oh, that's sad. Thanks for bringing that up. We had a conversation on the air shortly after Dave announced that he was leaving, where we were discussing whether he is the biggest influencer of comedy on our generation. And I think we came to the conclusion that, bar none, like, he's so far in a way the most influential person that any of us ever grew up with in terms of shaping our sense of humor. You'd agree with that, I'm sure, right?
I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, really, there's no one else in the conversation.
The only other person I can think of, and I don't think of him as in our generation necessarily, is Richard Pryor, but I don't think it's even close. I mean, I think after Dave, everything changed. That kind of phony delivery changed, not just in comedy, but like kind of every place. Like all of a sudden it became very obvious, and whether it was a comedy show or even a game show, like those announcer types kind of died along.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, he wouldn't put up with that nonsense. He really would just call people out on it.
And you draw a line directly from David Letterman to the Jon Stewarts and the Stephen Colberts and the Jimmy Kimmels and all the people who kind of came after him. They're kind of built on that. And the last question I had for you, Jim, is a guy who has done the job that Dave has done for over 30 years, and now you've done it for over 10 years yourself. You have to even be more amazed that he's lasted as long as he has in late-night television, because you know what a grind it is.
Oh, I won't last even half that long.
Okay.
Yeah, it is definitely a grind, and it's amazing to me that it seems like he doesn't want to give it up.
Do you think, and I know you're just guessing probably, but you know more than we do, do you think he'll be happy retiring and not doing the show?
I would have said yes. I would have said that we'll never see him again,
right,
like 3 weeks ago, but every article seems to indicate that he would be interested in doing something else. If he does, I bet he'll do something like CBS Sunday Morning, or maybe a show on PBS every once in a while, or something like that.
We're not going to see the end of him like we did Johnny Carson, just disappeared, pretty much.
I don't know. Maybe he'll change his mind when he gets home and realizes that he can just relax, but the interviews, he seems to indicate that he would be open to something.
Right.
Jimmy, being a fan of his since you were such a little kid, how has he shaped what you do? How has he made you better?
By the way, wouldn't it be funny if he comes back like 2 weeks after I cried?
Yeah. his entire show is back.
Well, for me, I just think that there's a certain like kind of a part of your life in which you're very things make an imprint on you. And I think like if you think about like the music you really loved is from when you're in high school, and I think the same is true with comedy. And I think that, you know, for me, and just the way I joked around and the way I wrote things with my friends and for whatever little project I was working on, that always was kind of what I tried to emulate, that way that Dave spoke and the things that he pointed out as funny. I mean, you know, somebody has to point this stuff out to you, especially when you're a kid, and subtle humor is not something that teenage boys revel in, and I think that Dave introduced me to that.
You know, Will It Float is up for grabs now, Jim, if you want to take it.
I'll take it.
Well, it was I know we mocked you.
I can make float in my tears.
I know we mocked you when you came up, but the truth was, you know, you were speaking from the heart, and it was actually a very sweet moment, and no one deserves it more than David Letterman. So we really appreciate you coming on and talking about it today, and we'll all be watching tonight and looking forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
Well, thank you for your cruelty/sensitivity.
All right. Aw, poor Jimmy.
How dare you.
Thanks, Jim. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:43.
And they're apparently playing over at House of Blues at that
Foundation Room.
Really? Nirvana?
We better check that out and get to the House of Blues before they tear it down.
I don't think that Nirvana...
They're tearing down our city. What can I say?
The whole city?
They're building hotels for tourists to come and look at hotels.
What?
Tourists can't come and look at tourist attractions anymore because there aren't any more tourist attractions.
Yeah, it's deep,
just
patio.
Just hotels.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
One thing I know about Los Angeles, no more attractions.
It's nothing to see here.
That's nothing
true.
To see.
Just hotels.
Just hotels. Hotels, looking at hotels. Good point, Rod. All right, 943, Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
They tore down Paradise, put up a parking lot, man.
That's right, man.
That should be a song.
Scooty Bebop. What about the birds, man? Birds are dying.
That's true. Birds are dying.
Hey, listen to me, people, now.
Don't say it.
Kevin Smith and I, we like to do this little show we call Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose on Friday nights at 10 p.m. We're doing another one this week. We're doing it on Friday night, and we can't do it without you.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Not even giving anything away. We're asking you to come out and join us and have a good time.
No.
You can go to improv.com to get more information and to get your tickets. But it's just me and Kevin cracking wise with a bunch of very nice people, and I get inebriated, and Kevin shows up. High's kite, and hilarity ensues.
Cranky.
No.
So come on out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. And speaking of tickets, how would you like to go to the premiere of a tiny little independent drama known as San Andreas?
Yay!
Story of a hardworking migrant farm worker who raises his single child while picking lettuce, and it's in black and white. It cost only about $10,000 to make.
It's a big budget special effects bonanza starring The Rock, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. It's just the end of the world as we know it. Oh my God, there's an earthquake! Talk about tearing the city down, Rodney. Well, this is for reals.
Well, I mean, it's not for reals. It's a movie about something that might perhaps
happen. It's going to happen.
It might happen.
Probably before the premiere of this movie.
Probably not.
I'm telling you.
All right.
It's science. What smarter people than us, that nice man, Dr. Kate over there at Caltech, he always says that it's just a matter of time. There's a giant gaping hole underneath us, and it's going to open up and swallow us up. Hole.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And this movie is a documentary about when that happened.
I don't think it actually happened. I believe this is fiction.
Well, it sure feels real to me. Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars Alexandra Daddario. I'd put up with a massive earthquake.
You would?
For her, yeah. Whatever it takes. Carla Gugino is her hot mom. All good stuff. Nothing but good stuff in this movie. And I've got tickets for the premiere of San Andreas happening May the 26th at the TCL Chinese Theater.
If it's still there,
by the way,
on the night of the premiere.
Time the big one hits. And the movie's in theaters everywhere on May the 29th. But if you're one of the lucky callers right now at the following phone number, 1-800-520-1067. If you call at that phone number and you're one of the first five people to get through, you get a pair of passes to attend the premiere. This isn't just some screening. This is the premiere. This is when they roll out the red carpet. And you can see Rock in all his glory. Oh, that's a piece of man, isn't it?
Really is.
He's a slab of beef, isn't he?
He really is.
That kid. He's got what it takes. Are you with me? Oh, that light mocha-colored skin of his, like a buttery caramel.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
Right. Just want to pop it in your mouth like a Werther's and just let it melt on your tongue, right? Who's with me? And The Rock.
I'm not sure what you're talking about right now.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not positive.
You know I'm talking about The Rock and his...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Body of work.
Right.
Which is all very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
We will not get back to you. You will just win if you call now. Kevin.
Call me
terrorist, you know, situation.
Right. The terrorist situation is just a big problem.
What's the guy talking about?
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Guilty.
He is not charged with anything. He's a name you may remember as the legendary Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's taken over the reins from host Tom Bergeron to be the face of America's Funniest Home Videos next season. This shocked me.
This show just wrapped its 25th anniversary season on ABC. We had a debate earlier in the week whether it was still on the air or not.
Yeah, I felt like it was on the air in syndication for many years now.
In syndication, right, yes. But also...
But that's it, is what I thought.
No, also first run. 7 p.m. on Sundays is when it's been airing. Maybe that's why we've missed it, but...
I have a boring story.
Oh,
well, then don't tell it. Keep
going,
Ralph. Did you
sit next
keep
to
going.
Tom Bergeron in an airport at some point?
Please keep going, Ralph. Just keep going.
I have a friend.
It's his show. I can't not let him talk.
I have a friend in radio. I didn't talk to him.
You have a friend in radio.
I didn't talk to him about this, but I heard him talking about it on his radio show.
Exciting story.
Who has a family member who won the $100,000? I guess they have they give $10,000 a week or something like that,
yes,
and then they have $100,000 at the end of the season. His family won the $100,000 for America's Funniest Home Videos.
What's the point of this story?
What was his video?
It was just some dumb video about somebody putting Kevin, you'll love this, a laser pointer dot on a wall, and then like a dog would jump up at the dot, and then the kid would jump up at the dot too.
That's
just
not a thing.
That was the video. That's 100,000. Think about all the videos we see every week at the Internet Roundup or on YouTube that are just incredible. That one won $100,000, just a dog and a kid jumping at a spot on a wall. $100,000. So that shows really does give the money away, I guess.
That's the point of your story, is that the show actually gives away the money they say they're giving away?
You tied that up nicely.
Did you really? You offered that up as proof because you thought maybe we were doubting whether ABC pays off on its America's Funny Home Video
contest. No. It's just that I know a guy who knows a guy who won the big prize.
Yes.
That's all.
And the point of that was...
That is the point.
They really do give away the money.
No, that was one like side conclusion. My whole point of bringing it up is just to say I know a guy who knows a guy.
My whole point is when you feel like this is a boring story, it's 10 levels more boring than you realize.
I warned you guys ahead of time not to expect much out of that story.
Listen to that voice and don't tell it.
Okay, I'll make a note of that.
This is why you fail.
That's right, Mini Yoda. That is why he fails. I know we've been talking a ton about this, but it's our last day to talk about it, so why not? David Letterman's last show is tonight. It's kind of a big deal to those of us who look to Dave as a comedy influence, and almost everybody does. He has been on the air for a long time, 33 years in late night, both NBC and CBS combined. And so here's some fun facts about the David Letterman show. How many total stupid pet trick segments do you think he's done over his career?
Segments.
How many times has he done the stupid pet tricks bit?
I will say...
Now, keep in mind, there's been over 6,000 broadcasts of the David Letterman show in both its incarnations, CBS and NBC. 6,000 shows. How many times did stupid pet tricks come up?
I will say 250.
I was going to say 500.
I would say 1,240.
That's a very specific number. You'd think, right? Because it's so ingrained. We know it so well.
Right.
Only 126 times.
Wow. No kidding.
Yep. Out of 6,000 shows.
That's the first fun fact that I have ever thought was fun after they said it.
See, thank you. I've achieved
Usually
something.
Usually fun fact means boring fact
but
on the way.
But that's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
it
is. It's such a big part of that show. It has resonated with us for so long.
And he's only done 2 top 10 lists.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't think that
you would think that would have been
popular
more.
Popular that is.
Award for... Well, other than the regulars, like the Regis Philbins and those guys. I mean,
yeah.
Regis has been on the show 150 times.
Wow.
In various incarnations, like in showing up at sketches and walking out and just waving to the crowd and that kind of stuff. He's made 150 appearances on the David Letterman show. But who sat in the guest chair the most with 73 performances? 73 sit-down interviews with Dave.
Well, now, we mentioned earlier that Tom Hanks was 60, and he was one of the most visited. Marv Albert.
Marv Albert.
What?
Bean. Marv Albert.
Huh.
I feel like he used them on all the time.
73 appearances he's made on that show. Other people who've been on the show a ton, Jack Hanna.
Sure.
You love him and his animals, mm-hmm. right?
They would always attack Dave. That was the best.
He was not a brave man when it came to that stuff. Tom Brokaw, 49 appearances.
Wow, that's a surprise.
And Tony Randall, 70 times.
Wow.
Tony Randall.
What?
There you go. And just because, Kevin, you did mention it, top 10 lists?
Yes.
4,605 top 10 lists.
Out of 6,000 shows.
Out of 6,000 shows. Wow. Yeah, so I didn't even know there was shows without it. But
yeah,
I guess
sure,
there are some nights, I guess he doesn't do it. I guess.
Well, he didn't start it at the beginning of the... I mean, he started... I think he does it almost every night, but he didn't start it until a couple years into his broadcast, I think.
Well, there you go.
I watched on YouTube yesterday.
I knew a guy once who once read the top 10 list while it was on the screen out loud.
I watched a YouTube video yesterday of the first ever top 10 list, by the way. The first ever one, which was Words That Almost Rhyme With Peas. That was the first one. That's funny. That's Letterman-esque right there.
It is. But the idea of you sitting and watching that on YouTube, sad.
Like a lot of people, I've been, had Letterman on my mind this week.
Chip, he doesn't have enough time to have you up to his house this weekend.
Yeah, he's busy. He's very busy.
He's very busy watching YouTubes of programs from 33 years ago.
Bean loves Chip, but he needs to reschedule her visit.
Yeah.
I'm tired from all the movement, you guys.
What are the chances, Ralph, I'm just asking you, and I'm asking you, Allie, and I'm asking you, Chip, what are the chances Bean did not know it was Marv Albert? Because he had read everything there was to read about David Letterman's story.
This week,
yes.
Yeah.
He went, let me think. Marv Albert.
He searched that brain of his.
I didn't see it this week at all.
You saw it this week.
Guys, I don't lie, by the way.
I
didn't see it this week, but I remember hearing, over the past, over the years, that he's one of Dave's favorite guests and one of his most, popular visitors. That's all.
Yes! Remember the time Marv Albert bit Letterman? Remember when he was dressed up in that lingerie and he bit Letterman right on the elbow?
I think that was a sketch with a woman. No, that was Marv Albert with a woman in a hotel room.
That was not a sketch at all.
Dave was wearing a suit made out of Marv Albert. And he jumped in a big tub of mayonnaise. I saw it on YouTube.
All right.
So the first ever Marv Albert suit in a mayonnaise vat episode. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cher is 69 years old today. Boy, I bet she wishes she could turn back time, huh?
Die.
If I could turn back time.
I think we got it. We got it. It was a reference to a song title by Cher.
What? Bronson Pinchot is 56 years old today. Tony Goldwyn of the Goldwyn family. Legendary show business family, the Goldwyns. Sam Goldwyn, the founders of MGM Studios were Goldwyns.
Oh, all right.
His brother's a big-time producer. Tony's a very talented actor, director, producer himself. Big, talented family, those Goldwyns. 55 years old today. Timothy Oliphant is 47 years old. NASCAR driver Tony Stewart turns 44. And Busta Rhymes is 43.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
There's Busta Rhymes right there.
Right there.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Maybe not his biggest hit. Take her off tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jim Rome talking sports like we do on Thursdays. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We're going to talk to Anthony Rumble Johnson about fighting Daniel Cormier Saturday night for the UFC light heavyweight belt, UFC 187. We have comedian Jen Kirkman in. We have a brand new internet roundup. And we have your tickets for you two at the Roxy. It's a lot going on one program tomorrow morning.